don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Kevin Bing, me llamo el Dototito Kevin Bing. Quiero decirles que el ojo que tengo bien hecho me da Kevin Bing. Mira, Tijuana, componerlo, Kevin Bing. Quiero agarrarme toda una puta ya al Kevin Bing en Tijuana para poder. Hola, bye bye, Kevin Bing.
What the hell?
That's a very interesting question. I don't know.
Oh, say does that our banner rock and replay for the land of the free. And the home of the brave.
Label.
This is horrible. I want to go out and puke right now.
Good morning.
There's no turning back, no matter how much we wish we could.
And now.
All right, now the moment you've all been waiting for. Lights, music.
Our feature presentation.
106.7 K-Rock Carol Q. That's the Ramones for you there, doing the Jan and Dean classic of Surf City. Of course, that goes out to everybody out in Huntington Beach. Surf City, definitely. Anyway, I got to admit, when I was a kid, a little kid, when the first time I actually did hear that song, I was in Santa Cruz. And I remember being in a car, and they had all the windows down, and and we blasted it out the window. But I did hear it for the first time in Santa Cruz, even though Surf City is Huntington Beach.
That's why.
And but we heard the Ramones doing it, and I did do a version of Surfing Safari with the Ramones, and someday I'm going to play that for you. It's pretty rare.
Yeah.
Anyway, listening to Rodney on the Rock. Got a band here, pretty interesting. Some girls and guys in this band. Yeah. Here they are.
Oh, that was nice.
That was nice. That was nice. Do it again, she says. Yeah.
I like how Rodney says, I remember the first time I heard that song when I was a kid. He was like 35.
He found it very, very, very funny that he heard that and he was not in Huntington Beach when he heard it.
Because he thinks that everyone should hear Surf City for the first time in Surf City. That's why.
Yeah, exactly. If you don't hear it for the first time in Huntington Beach, then what's wrong with you? You didn't hear it the right way.
Exactly. So
I was confused.
Yeah.
What would it be like to have a memory of something that happened when you were young? It would be weird, I would think.
Well, certainly most people remember more than you do. I mean, Bean says he doesn't remember a thing before he was 15.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
Which leads me to believe he was touched, but he claims no, even though he doesn't remember.
How does he know? Right. Exactly.
He's just convinced, but he has no way of knowing.
There's nothing to suggest that any touching was going
on. No.
There's no other clues or anything like that.
There never is.
You know, it's weird because, I was just telling my crazy acupuncturist the other day, because I figure all those woo-woo guys know all the other woo-woo guys. So
yeah.
I thought, hey, maybe he knows a guy who does one of these, memory regression type things where they can, I don't know what they would do.
They put you under, hypnotize you or
something, you know, and then bring it back because that would be so awesome. I said to him, and I got a little tear in my eye. I said, if I could just remember just one Christmas as a kid, I'd be happy.
Wow. What did the woo-woo guy say, or whatever it is you call him?
He said, well, I don't, off the top of my head, don't really know anyone who does that, but I'll keep my eyes peeled, and if I find out of anybody, I'll let you know.
And the receptionist said,
you're a homo.
No? No? But do you think something like that could work? I mean,
well, I don't know. I mean, we do know somebody who can do that, and his name is The Amazing.
That's right.
Right. He can hypnotize people, but does he do that where he can bring back memories if they're gone?
You must not have memories before when he was telling us that Lightning was a, 15th century warrior or something like that, remember?
That's right.
Yeah, I do. But I'm not interested in a past life. I'm interested in this life.
Well, I would imagine it'd be easier to go through this life than skipping you back generations.
I need to talk to Tom and find out what's up.
I'm telling you, you don't want to know.
I do, though.
If your memory is blanked, there's a reason for it. It's called self-defense mechanism. So for you to exist and live and be happy, you have to repress those memories.
Because I've been cool places and lived cool places that I have no memory of, for instance, you know? And it would be nice to be able to know what it was like to live in the Philippines, for instance. You know, that would be, I would enjoy thinking about that.
Right.
It'd be funny when he finds out he never lived in the Philippines.
Ever, yeah.
He was actually in it, like... group home until he was 14 and a half.
He was a test tube baby. They finally hatched him when he was 15. He doesn't have any memories from before that.
Exactly.
It'd be better if he banged a bunch of hot Filipino chicks and doesn't remember it at all.
Hey, we're talking about B.
I know, but I'm just saying, you know, he has the yellow fever.
Yeah, sure.
And he finally got some yellow tail, doesn't remember it.
Yeah. If everything I know to be my life is really just a snow globe, I'm going to be pissed at the end.
Wouldn't that be great?
If that's what I find out, is this whole thing is just an imaginary life in a snow globe.
That'd be awesome.
Well, I'm going to email the amazing
Tom
Silver today and ask him about it and see what he says. I'm serious about this. I think it's time.
I think you should do it. I think that would be fascinating.
Here's the danger, though. You'll remember the Philippines, and then you'll remember when you were touched in the Philippines.
I wasn't.
And then you'll remember
touching.
England, and then you'll remember when the Queen touched you. I mean, you'll remember all that stuff.
Bring the little boy to me. I am royalty. I will touch him if I want to.
My brother, by the way, who has a fantastic memory, remembers from when he was like 6 months old, he remembers, okay? And he was never touched.
Well, why don't...
That's why he remembers.
Why don't we get your brother on the show, and he can fill us in on your first 15 years? If he remembers everything, he's got to know a lot about you. And why haven't you asked him?
Asked him what?
What happened in the first 15 years of your life? You say he remembers everything.
Yeah, because it's not the same to just, I mean, I want to remember it. I'd like
to
remember what it was. It's not the same to having somebody else go, oh, yeah, it was really cool. We went to this mountain and we saw this cool guy. You know, that's just, that doesn't bring back a memory.
Well, no, but it would at least give you an idea of what happened during those 15 years. I mean, it's better than nothing.
Did you have friends? Didn't you have friends?
Well, I can answer that. He didn't have friends.
He had none.
He was beaten up at school all the time. I mean, listen, some of these things are easy to answer. Let's get your brother on the horn. Yeah, that's easy.
Yeah, he loves that.
He likes participating in our show, right?
Ever since we tipped off the FBI because we thought he might be the DC sniper, he's really soured on this show. You remember that?
There was random killings in Washington, D.C., and it was called the D.C. Sniper, and it was that guy that was laying in the back of his car just picking people off.
Yep.
Right. And the description, when the description came out, it was talking about a guy in his 30s who's, a loner and single and got a chip on his shoulder and got a gun and just like 30 things on the list, and every one of them was my brother.
We were checking, check, okay, yep, check.
Oh, my God, we got a call.
But wait a minute, didn't you just have some big holiday with all your family? Didn't you just see him recently?
Yeah, not too long ago. I mean, he'll play nice for the family. Yeah, sure.
Okay. I'm saying
he was with my dad, yeah.
I'm saying let's get a hold of him. Let's ask him what your first 15 years were like.
I'll see what I can do.
All right. Bean was like the quarterback of the football team and the president of the student council. And
well,
got all the chicks.
Unfortunately, I do know that the only participation I had in high school was the AV club. I do know that much.
Yeah,
so.
Well.
No surprise there, right?
That is no surprise. No. But you can AV like a mother effer.
That's right.
I mean,
no one wheels a projector down to the gym better than I do. Oh.
Even you, Mike, know, right? Even Mini Bean. That's too much for you.
That was gay.
Yeah, I mean, come on. You're Mini Bean. You're growing up to be just like him.
In a sense, but I also was somewhat cool in high school. I mean, I was like really good at sports, and I wasn't in the AV club.
Yeah, there's no question that high school psycho Mike would have hated high school Bean. There's no question.
Oh,
would have
beaten him up.
Wait a minute. There's no question that high school any of us would have hated high school Bean. Because Bean's, way too intelligent for his own good, and you know that he would lord that over people. Because he's Mini Doc.
Yeah.
Bean's a Mini Doc, and Mike is a Mini Bean.
Oh, don't even say
and
that.
And so Bean would be sitting in class, and he would say, hey, why don't you have so-and-so answer that, knowing that he doesn't know. That's the kind of guy Bean is.
Sure.
I don't think that was what I did.
You got beat up every single day in high school. Every day.
Have any memory of ever being beaten up?
I know.
Hello.
That supports my theory.
Yep.
Every day.
You had brain damage.
They would take your lunch. And they would beat you up.
I don't think that happened at all.
I know you don't. Let's ask your brother. Let's see if we can get your brother on maybe tomorrow. We'll see if we can get your brother on. And we'll ask him if you ever got beat up. And he'll say, yes, of course I beat him up.
All right, I know he did break my nose a couple of times. I do know
that's what I'm saying. Let's talk about this morning's Kevin and Bean show. I don't think we're going to have time for the past life memories with Bean, but maybe we can do that tomorrow.
Okay.
Because it could be ugly. I mean, we may need to have a therapist on hand just to make sure that, he doesn't go into some kind of deep, dark depression when he realizes that he did get beat up.
What is the date today, Carrick's Kevin?
Today it's Thursday, and it's the 11th of January.
Wow, he got the day and the date right today.
How about that?
Very impressive.
It's a rare moment. Coming up on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, we got to get to the topic of over-the-top wedding proposals because it's getting ridiculous. It's been ridiculous for a long time, but it's getting way more ridiculous. I'm sure you may have heard of the guy on the internet, and there are hundreds of these. They're always trying to raise money for something. We're all getting tired of it.
Oh, yeah.
This guy is trying to raise money so that he can buy commercial time during the Super Bowl, which is when the commercials go for millions of dollars, so he can ask his girl to marry him.
Oh, what an ass.
That was our first response as well.
Oh, God.
It's not enough to just buy it on General Hospital or something she's watching anyway. It has to be, hey, look at me.
Yeah, and we all have to give him money so he can do this?
Are people still watching General Hospital?
Yeah, it's
they have their shows.
Right. It's one of the two or three highest rated daytime dramas, yeah.
But like you said, any show, I mean, any Simpsons, any regular night
cable
show is fine.
Something,
you know,
he can afford.
Yeah, but
right,
he wants to do a commercial during the Super Bowl, which is much more of a, hey, look at me, aren't I something?
Of course.
Than it is, I'd like to marry you.
I mean, is all about getting interviewed. And
this is the one. This is the one sign where the girl should say, no.
You just spent $2 million on a commercial. You know how many people are hungry in this country? You're an ass. Go away.
We could have bought a mansion. We could have had cars.
That's true, too.
You have a 60-second commercial, you bonehead. So anyway, over-the-top wedding proposals. Everybody has to top everybody else. It has to be the greatest thing in the world.
Right.
And it's just getting out of control. So we'll talk to Lightning then, too, because he had a hard time himself. Coming up this morning, also, we have highlights of I Love New York. Which is well, it's spectacular.
Okay.
If I could make up a new word.
Or blacktacular.
Blacktacular. It's fantastic. I mean, come on. New York is the chick, for those of you that didn't watch The Flavor of Love. She was the one who got the other girl spit in her face. She got in a fight.
Yeah.
She was the one where she brought her mom, and her mom started shoving Flavor Flav.
She's hateful.
Oh, she's just the worst. All the girls there just wanted to kill her. And on the reunion show just this past time, they all rushed the stage, and she was running from them, and it was awesome. So now she's got her own show.
Of course. We reward those people.
Where she has 20 guys that come to a mansion, and she's going to find her, quote, true love.
Well, I'm sure all these guys are entranced by her.
Oh, they're so. These guys are worse than the girls.
Really?
No one's pooped on the stairs yet, but other than that, these guys are just douchebags with a capital douche. Oh, my God, they're dumb. So anyway, we've got highlights of that coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We have Dave the King of Mexico, our phone screener, who apparently is now doing Taibo.
Oh, I would pay to see that.
Just in time for the 10-year anniversary of when it went away.
Yeah, that's true. This is all the rage 10 years ago.
Apparently he bought a DVD and was doing it in the privacy of his own home.
Could you be any gayer?
You see those DVDs every once in a while, like at the Salvation Army thrift store. They're like a dollar now.
Yeah.
Taibo.
It used to be like $50 for one.
Yeah. It's very hot for a minute.
Mm-hmm. I'd give any, for a minute, yeah, but the minute was 10 years ago.
I know.
I would give anything to have video of Dave in his room watching Taibo and going, I don't know, that one's too hard. I'm going to sit down and take a rest. So anyway, we got to talk to him about that today. And we also have more chances for you to win these tickets to see the Taste of Chaos tour, which is 30 Seconds to Mars and a bunch of other bands, The Used, Seosin, Senses Fail. And you get on that standby boarding list. We're going to do the drawing tomorrow morning for a chance for you to go to Montreal to see 30 Seconds to Mars. So that's pretty cool as well. Yes?
I'm just waiting.
You're waiting for Bean to do his...
I don't know what you're talking about. Although I don't know why Monty Hall is at all involved in the contest. That doesn't...
No, not Montreal. This is Monty Hall.
Oh, I got you.
No, it's the other way around. And also last night, Armed and Famous was on.
Oh, yeah.
It's the one where Wee Man becomes a policeman. So we got highlights of that coming up this morning as well. Ralph's Showbiz Beat is next.
Did we mention that we're going to be talking about the best movie in the history of the world ever coming up after the news?
Black Sheep? Oh, Black Sheep is the best movie ever in March.
Oh, I see.
This is the best movie ever in January, which is Stomp the Yard.
Exactly. And we only have to wait about 28 hours or something to go see Stomp the Yard for the first time. But we'll talk about that on the way. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Sad news today, gentlemen. Perhaps you've already heard, we've lost a legend. One of the greats.
I haven't. Who died?
Lily Munster. Yvonne DiCarlo, actress who played Lily Munster on the classic TV sitcom The Munsters, has passed away.
I just saw an episode a couple of weeks ago.
84 years old.
She probably didn't look that old, right?
What's that?
I said she probably didn't look that old. She saw an episode a couple of weeks ago.
She was, that show was very funny. I like that. Mm-hmm. It was always two camps. You either had your Munsters camps or your Addams Family camps.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was a Munsters man. I thought Fred Gwynne is... As Herman always did it for me.
That was good.
Lily, darn. Cracks me up. She was also in The Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston, played Moses' wife in that movie.
No kidding.
She had a long and lucrative film career before she started doing television. But she passed away at 84 years old today. And I heard the guy who had the biggest Munsters memorabilia collection of all time.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Was the guy who was paying her medical bills at the end.
Really?
You're kidding.
Now, that's a fan.
Wow.
No kidding.
They heard she was in financial trouble and she was sick, and he stepped in and took care of all of her medical expenses.
Well, she died at the actor's home, right, Ralph?
Yeah.
Wow. So you're going to do that for Adam West?
I'm going to move to his house and be his caretaker. That's my plan.
It would be an honor to do that, wouldn't it?
So, Yvonne DiCarlo, gone. I think they're all gone now.
Back in the day.
Back in like the 50s and stuff, she was smoking hot. But Grandpa's gone now, and Herman's gone.
Yeah.
I think Eddie's the only one left.
So no reunion? Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. No reunion. Sharon and Elizabeth from American Pie has finally reached a divorce settlement with her ex-husband, Joe Reitman. Apparently, Joe wanted half of everything she earned during their five-year marriage.
Ass.
Of course.
I say to him, you were married to Sharon and Elizabeth.
You got more than anyone else.
Count your blessings. Move on. Good day, sir.
Lisa, why is he an ass when that's how the standard breakdown is, 50-50, for every woman in the state of California?
Yeah.
And it's fine for them.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Not only is it fine for them, you support them.
She's really young and
so she really doesn't give him any money.
Much. What does he do?
I don't know.
What does it matter?
What do
most wives do?
In the back of my head, he was like a producer or something.
In the back of your head,
he was?
What
does it matter? He's entitled to half of the money that she made while they were married. That's the law for both sexes.
You're right. I'm wrong. Good for him. Go, boy.
See, you're bad.
I don't think she means that.
No,
she
does. I do. I don't even mean it. I don't know what I was thinking.
She's all bad.
It continues on, the battle between Rosie O'Donnell and Donald Trump.
Oh, yes. Dear God. Let these two get a divorce.
Yes. Yesterday on The View, Barbara Walters stepped in calling Trump, and I quote, that poor, pathetic man. Because, you know, Donald released that letter saying that Barbara did tell him, in fact, that it was a mistake to hire Rosie. And it was hard for her to work with him. Well, Barbara came to Rosie's defense on the show, and Rosie shouted, yes! Screaming about him and blah, blah, blah.
As only a fat girl can.
As only a fat girl can. And Trump, of course, had to respond.
Yes.
Released a one-page statement saying, Barbara Walters has taken the low road for the sake of her show rather than the sake of her morality. Barbara has become a sad figurehead dominated by a third-rate comedian.
Wow.
They didn't even have the courage to mention me by name on the show. It was sad to see Barbara read her statement off a cue card. So this is going away anytime soon.
Don't be stupid!
How can Barbara Walters not hate working with Rosie O'Donnell?
Of course,
I don't know
she
whether
does.
She said it or not, but she has to be miserable,
sure she
right?
does, and I'm sure she said it.
She does, and she said it. That's what I think, too. It's just she can't publicly say it in front of her, but
there's
of course.
No way. She's totally backpedaling now.
Nobody that spends any time with Rosie likes it.
Speaking of Rosie.
Or Donald, by the way.
Yeah, it's true. Fox News is reporting from an inside source on The View that Rosie O'Donnell would likely leave the show when her contract ends in June due to tensions between her and Barbara Walters.
Thank God.
However, the ratings have improved significantly since O'Donnell joined the cast. And some are speculating that ABC might try to buy Walters out of the show. You know, she's the producer. And give the show over to O'Donnell entirely.
Oh. I thought Rosie didn't want to do her own show for an hour a day because it was too much work.
Well, she would be doing The View. She would be producing The View, and it would be her show, and Barbara would be out, and Rosie would be the ringleader of that bunch of hens.
Wow. Whew. She would say to Barbara,
that's sad.
She keeps failing up.
For you.
Lindsay Lohan may be partially to blame for the breakup between Dita Von Teese and Marilyn Manson's marriage.
No way.
Apparently, Dita got tired of Marilyn partying all the time, and Lindsay Lohan was constantly calling the house wanting to come around and party with him.
Really?
And Dita was getting fed up of this little firecrotch coming over and wanting to party all the time.
How about that?
So, no matter what's going on bad in the world, somehow Lindsay Lohan is tangentially connected.
Every single story.
Speaking of which, Lindsay Lohan recently had another cat fight with somebody else.
Excellent.
It was at a nightclub in Miami called the Shore Club, when in walked Michelle Trachtenberg. You know her, of course, who played Buffy's little sister on Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Sure.
Been in a bunch of movies. Apparently, the two can't stand each other, and Lindsay started screaming to management, get her the F out of here.
Oh, my God.
She followed up that very nice suggestion by threatening to get physical with Michelle and kick her ass.
I hope everyone there let that happen.
They didn't.
Oh.
Apparently, Michelle didn't want to deal with it and took off. Wow. It'd be great, a cat fight between Lindsay Lohan and Michelle Trachtenberg.
Yes. Sure. We need to encourage that type of
Give me
of
the
activity.
Video rights. That's all I ask.
My money would be on the ice princess, I'll tell you that.
And if you're eating breakfast, please put your food down and take a big gulp of water, wash it down, make sure your stomach is settled.
And back away from the table for this story.
Kelly Osbourne has announced to anyone pretty much who will listen that she would love to do a spread for Playboy magazine. In a recent interview with Closer magazine, said she'd love to do that.
Oh, my. Oh, how about the twist on that?
Yes. Who could have seen that coming?
How about it, indeed?
Wow.
I can't think of anyone, save perhaps Rosie O'Donnell, that I would like to see less in the pages of Playboy.
I am definitely not cool.
I just threw up.
And here's something. I think Kevin's going to have a little bit of a moral dilemma here.
Uh-oh.
Simon Cowell and Kevin Ryder have something very much in common.
They both hate American Idol?
No.
No.
They both hate Bob Dylan.
Oh, really?
Well, Bob Dylan blows.
Simon Cowell was talking to the New York Post, and he said that he likes Kelly Clarkson's music better than Bob Dylan's.
Yeah, what a surprise.
He says he's never owned a Dylan album. He says, a singing poet, he just bores me to tears. He also said they would never use Bob Dylan songs as the artist of choice on an Idol episode because it would, I quote, suck.
Well, first of all, they wouldn't know the lyrics. So who could sing them?
Well, they don't know most of the songs they're asked to sing. They have to learn them that week. But it would suck. I agree with him on that.
I've got to tell you, if I had 10 Bob Dylans in the final of American Idol, I wouldn't be getting 30 million viewers a week.
It's hard to argue with that.
Got to agree with him.
Yeah. So.
Indeed, love
Dylan. I love Dylan. He's a genius, but I don't want to see Fantasia singing The Times They Are Changing. I just don't want to see that.
But he was saying if he had 10 Bob Dylan artists, the actual artist himself, performing at the end of American Idol, if Bob Dylan was on American Idol, no one would be watching American Idol.
Yeah, unless they fought each other. Because if the Bob Dylans fought each other.
Bob Dylan clones fighting each other would be a completely different show, Kevin. I think you're missing the point.
But I'm saying I would be in then.
And lastly, a little more American Idol news, because you know it starts up again next week.
Oh, I can't wait.
My wife and I were sitting on the couch watching House, and the commercial came on, and I said, are you as excited as I am? She goes, I can't wait for American Idol.
I get goosebumps when that new promo runs off. It's so good.
Here is everything all in one neat little package for Kevin to enjoy American Idol. Madame Tussauds Wax Museum has opened a new attraction in Vegas that allows you to audition for American Idol in front of wax likenesses of Simon Cowell and Ryan Seacrest.
Yay! Are you kidding me?
It's called Karaoke Revolution Presents American Idol. So you get to do karaoke to your favorite songs in front of wax statues of Simon Cowell and Ryan Seacrest.
Wow.
And perform in front of them like you're auditioning for the show.
Are you kidding
me? Everything you love in one package, Kevin.
Yeah. Wow.
Let's go. Let's go right now. I'm going to Vegas this week, and I'm going to go right to the karaoke American Idol exhibit at the Madame Tussauds Wax
Museum. I think you need to do that.
And I'm going to perform.
There's also a PlayStation 2 game.
Randy don't rate, by the way? They don't get a statue?
It doesn't say here. It just mentions those two, so perhaps not.
Yeah, that's...
Not enough wax to make Randy, first of all.
It's going to make my life miserable, that show, American Idol. God, I hate that.
It's only, isn't it 2 hours Tuesday and 2 hours Wednesday? Is that right, Ralph?
Yeah, it's just the 4 hours over two nights for the premiere, at least.
Sunday night, Monday night, 2 hours each, the premiere of 24. I'm all about that.
Yeah, sure.
American Idol, out.
Seacrest?
Hate.
Out?
Out.
Don't you say?
Yes.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Amanda Peet.
Yes.
Even pregnant, I do her a favor. You know what I'm saying? She, of course, a very talented actress, currently can be seen on Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, I think. Is that show still on?
If that ever comes back.
She's really good in that.
She's awesome on that. The whole cast is good on that.
You look at her and you go, wow, she's hot, but look at how commanding she is.
Ballsy.
Yeah.
She's 35 years old today. Mary J. Blige is 36 years old today. Our buddy Tom Dumont of No Doubt is 39 years old today. Clarence Clemons, the big man. Bruce Springsteen's E Street Band is 65 years old today.
Wow.
He's 65.
He looks good.
He does. Well, you know, black don't crack.
Yeah,
that's right.
And lastly, Felix Sela.
Alex.
Super whore. Oh. I don't know who Felix Sela is.
He is the actor who played Cousin It on The Addams Family. He is 70 years old today.
He's still alive.
He's still alive. Lily Munster, dead.
Gone.
Cousin It from the Addams Family, still walking around. There's no justice in the world.
Was that the hair or the hand? Which character was that?
Dude, how do you not know? You hosted...
I don't remember.
You hosted the Addams Family Marathon on freaking Channel 9 doesn't, or whatever it
doesn't
was.
Doesn't mean we watched it, dude.
But you knew you asked people trivia questions in the streets and whatnot.
Right, but that was a long time ago. One of the shows had a hand in a box. The other one had a big furry thing. Which
no,
one was this?
No, both of those creatures were on the Addams Family.
Yeah. Okay, well, who was this?
This was the hairy guy.
The hairy guy.
Cousin It was the one with the hair all over.
Over
the place.
Face, right?
Right.
All over all the place. Over. To the ground. From the top of his head to the ground. He was just a big, big ball of hair walking around. That was
And who was the hand?
Thing. The hand was Thing.
Thing was the hand and It was the hair. Okay.
Yes.
And It's birthday is today.
Cousin It. Yes.
Okay. I got you.
Felix Sia or Scylla.
You got to mention Super Whore, too, because you know how pouty she gets if we don't recognize this as the greatest day in the history of the world ever.
By the way, you might want to know, I know this little piece of trivia, Felix also was the actor who played Tweaky on Buck Rogers. He was the little guy inside the robot suit.
Okay, that's...
I don't know why. Yeah.
That's too much information.
And our assistant producer, Alex Super Whore Warren, also celebrates her birthday today. She's about 5 minutes away from menopause, which is like my favorite part of her birthday.
Oh, don't say that.
Oh, yeah, she's got menopause any
don't
second now.
Don't say that.
She's getting a hot flash right now in the office.
She's deathly afraid of that. She's just
afraid of menopause.
I know, and she's like 22. She's dying. Oh, I don't have menopause.
I know.
What's wrong with her?
So I got her some estrogen for her birthday.
All right, good.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Time for the Afro line, 323-520-AFRO. Trust me, being the best way to go with anything like that is just say yes. That's a good catch-all. Yeah, I'm drunk. Afro line, 323-520-AFRO. We were talking yesterday about people who had to miss something they really wanted to be at because they had to go to something that they really didn't want to be at. And that's what this first call's about.
You want to hear a good one? 1 week paid vacation at the Venetian in Las Vegas. $1,000 a day spending account. I could have had my $5,000 while I was there gambling, having a good time. And we didn't get to go because my wife had a frickin' baby. Yeah, great.
Well, you made the wrong choice. The baby was still going to be there when you got back, dude.
Bean yesterday was talking about the fact that he went to a puppet museum. And that's when this call came in.
Hey, Bean! Bean! Gay. Bean is gay. Bean is gay. Bean is gay. Gay, 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 gay. Bean, Bean, Bean.
Bean. Now, how do you know that had anything to do with the puppet museum?
I think it's impossible to categorize you. So if you're heterosexual, you just have to put them in someone else's camp. but then we hear from that camp that they don't want them either.
No, it's true. Yeah,
the gays do not want me. That's
so
sure.
What camp should we put them in? We're baffled. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Yesterday, we were also talking about the wheel of racial stereotypes. There are all kinds of racial stereotypes. Are they true? Or are they not true? We take calls. And yesterday, we did Jewish people are cheap, and it came out... 3-1, I believe, that they are. Mm-hmm. That stereotype was true.
I'm calling about the stereotyping. I was dating a Jewish girl, and, you know, I'd go down on her, but she wouldn't return the favor. That's just cheap.
That is cheap.
Yeah.
That's not exactly what we were talking about, but... Okay.
By the way, that's another stereotype that may deserve another round on the wheel, too, while we're talking about it.
Dude, I love New York. Best show in America.
Yeah, it's pretty strong. I love New York. Got clips coming up just after 7 o'clock. It rules.
So you're telling me the next stop on the K-Rock World Tour thing is a 30-second trip to Mars? Man, you guys got a budget. Smoke weed.
He may be confused, but I like the way he thinks.
Hey, Ralph, you must get tired because you walk the show of his beat so much.
That's a lot of exercise.
Okay, that's not a very good delivery necessarily, unfortunately.
Yeah, he lost confidence in his own bit. You're right.
Yeah, you gotta if you're gonna come with weak material, you gotta come strong. You gotta come hard.
I'm stomping the yard. Where are you from? I'm stomping the yard.
Where are you from? That's stomping the yard. Where are you from?
It sounds like he's tap dancing.
Friday at 11 o'clock. That's what I'm telling you. And this is an example of not good content, but good delivery.
I thought you guys might want to know this very interesting fact. Wait for it. Wait for it. Here it comes. Hold on. They're opening up a Best Buy
in Shanghai? Oh, oh, the double. Oh, man, that felt good. Whew. Oh, oh. I think I need a cigarette. I'm tired.
The only thing that could have made it better is if the Best Buy were in Bangkok. That would. Other than that, though, that
was the Best Buy in Shanghai. Are you kidding?
Pretty
That's
good.
Fantastic.
Pretty good.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KRQ. We're grateful for that, but to be honest, not enough of you are doing that.
We need more?
Really?
Yeah. I don't know what we can do about it. I just thought I'd make that announcement.
Tell your friends.
We're not really offering any kind of incentive for people to want to tune in, though.
Nope. Just hoping.
Hey, Ralph, did you hear that Psycho Mike got sister producer Alex the Super Whore another facial for her birthday this time?
No, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Did she wipe it off already?
Well, this is a professional. This is a professional facial. He gave her the amateur last year. This year, he gave her
Peter North is going to stop by?
No.
Just like a spot. That dare not speak its name.
That's what I'm talking about. Is she going to the AVNs this weekend?
No, it's not that kind of thing.
Up for an award?
I think it's a real like one.
It's a spa thing.
I bet it's a real one.
Yeah.
Are you shooting blanks?
Well, I'm just saying, last time, the face was missed. That's all I'm saying.
Last time
it
was homemade.
You know what I'm saying?
This is a professional one. So, anyway. Listeners, please email Alex and wish her a happy birthday because she's obsessed with how it's her birthday today.
Yesterday,
she's the only one with a birthday, by the way.
Our pre-show meeting, she said, and just a reminder, tomorrow's my birthday.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, I never heard someone give such a look at me speech about their birthday before.
Uninterested in my birthday. Bean feels better about not talking about his birthday. Dave, the King of Mexico, just had one. He doesn't want to talk about it.
Oh, he really doesn't, yeah.
But Super Whore, woo!
I like my birthday, don't get me wrong, but I don't think I've ever said, hey, by the way, tomorrow, my birthday.
Heads up.
Write it down. Make a note of it.
Come on, people.
I don't think I've ever done that.
6:55 highlights from I Love New York, the hot new VH1 show. You fell in love with her on Flav of Love, and now she's got her own program. That's coming up just after the news. Right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat.
Before I get to the Showbiz Beat, I've got tickets to give away to the special K-Rock advanced screening of The Hitcher. This movie looks scary as hell. Sean Bean stars along with Sophia Bush. It's at the Arclight Theater in Hollywood, California, right there at Sunset and Vine, next to the big Cinerama Dome. One of my favorite theaters to go to see a motion picture. They've got a restaurant there, and they've got a couple bars, so you can make an evening of it. It's Thursday, January the 18th, and if you'd like to go, callers 10 through 14 right now. Caller 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14. Five pairs of tickets at 1-800-520-1067. That's the number. Call now. Well, poor Marcia Cross from Desperate Housewives. She's been forced to temporarily quit the show.
How come?
Because doctors have put her on bed rest for the remainder of her pregnancy.
I happened to watch the latest episode, and they're shooting her just from, like, mid-chest up, but you can so tell she's pregnant. Her boobs are huge.
Her cans did get enormous.
Oh, my God.
She's 44 years old. She's expecting twins in April, and as a precaution, her doctor said, why don't you just take it easy and lay down for a while? So she's going to not be filming any episodes of the show for the remainder of her pregnancy. And she's also going to be missing the Golden Globe Awards on January 15th.
Even though she has her own.
She's got them.
She's nominated as Best Actress for her role as Brie on that show, but she's going to have to miss it. So, sorry, Marcia.
What are you going
to
do?
That's what you get.
What do you mean that's what you get?
Having babies.
When you're 44 and you're having twins, it's a lot to ask of a body.
Why didn't she adopt like all the other stars?
Because she wants to issue from her own loins.
Okay.
Drew Barrymore and Fabrizio Moretti apparently have ended their 5-year relationship.
Oh, Dewan is in.
Sources are saying there is an unnamed man who works at a movie theater and takes tickets who may be named as the reason the two split up.
Apparently, that's tight.
Apparently, Drew said they needed some time off. So Fab's back living in his old apartment now. They're no longer cohabitating. Apparently, he's younger than she is. She's wise beyond her years because she's had such a sort of a hard life.
Yeah.
And she's very entrenched in the Hollywood community. He's not so crazy about that. So there's some issues in the relationship. However, they've broken up a couple times before and gotten back together. So friends are speculating this may just be a little break until they decide that they can't live without each other and they get back together again. Oh, this is BS.
What?
Penelope Cruz has stepped forward and denied reports that she's having a lesbian relationship with Salma Hayek.
Come on. Let us at least dream.
Exactly. Don't say anything. You don't have to say, yes, we are, but just don't say anything. Don't squash our dreams.
Give people a second.
The two are best friends, and they've been hanging out quite a bit lately. For the past 6 years, they've been very, very close. And recently, there have been pictures published of Sama and Penelope standing side by side for photographers. And Penelope's grabbing Salma Hayek's ass in the photos.
Yes.
And those
well, who wouldn't?
Photos fueled rumors that the two were romantically involved.
Yeah.
However, Penelope Cruz appeared on Letterman on Tuesday night, and she said, you know, we just have a sense of humor. We're like sisters.
We sisters did
that
in love?
We did that in front of 100 photographers, and the story is now we are apparently lovers. I'm sorry to say that's not the case.
I'm no school administrator.
I love lesbians.
Yes.
Yes. We all do. Don't shut up.
Don't be bad.
Britney Spears, have you seen the photos of her smoking and sucking down Coronas on that boat?
No,
I haven't.
Yeah, it's her with her new boyfriend. She's wearing a neon bikini. Not a good move on her part.
Not yet.
And the dude looks enormously like Kevin Federline. So much like Kevin Federline.
No way.
It's not him. Oh. I'm not saying that it is. I'm saying the new guy she's dating is a dead ringer.
This is her type.
So she's obviously, yeah, has the type.
Wow.
The London Sun newspaper reports he's a little-known model and actor named Isaac Cohen. And he took Britney sailing for the day and then took her to the W Hotel, where reportedly the two spent the night together. And amazingly, she found a man who paid for the room this time.
Wow.
Yeah, it's remarkable.
Going a different way, different direction.
He looks like him, but he's not the same, obviously. George Michael pleaded not guilty yesterday in London to charges that he was unfit to drive and in possession of marijuana when he was arrested back on September 30th. That's when police found him passed out behind the wheel of his car. In the middle of an intersection. He is blocking the intersection, passed out behind the wheel of his car. He had pot on him. He says, though, he was not unfit to drive.
No, he was good.
He also claims that the blood samples that were taken from him that night were illegally obtained. So there's another hearing on March 7th to discuss the blood sample and whether it can be admitted as evidence or not. So we're going to have to wait
illegally
and see.
Obtained.
Yeah. I guess they have rights over there in England, too. How about
that's
that?
That's BS.
And this American Idol thing. You know, American Idol's coming back next week.
Yeah.
Are you excited, Kevin?
Oh, I hate it. I hate it.
Kevin,
hate
why
it.
Don't you just why don't you just roll with it for once? Because, why don't you just get on board and enjoy
it?
It's
easier for
you. Watch and see.
I will tell you why. Because they're funny when they're at the beginning when they're bad singers. But then all of the music that they sing, I hate. Almost across the board. They sing bad songs. So it's not just the competition part. I don't like the music.
But beyond that, can't you appreciate their talent and say that these are good singers?
No, and then Simon says that sucked, and then Paula gets angry, and then the guitarist guy says, oh yeah, dog, and that's it. That's the whole show.
The guitarist guy?
I know. What's his name, Randy?
Randy Jackson. Randy Jackson.
Bass player, right.
Bass player.
Producer, too. Music producer.
Yeah, I don't care.
Anyway, Paula Abdul is reaping the benefits of her fame from American Idol. She is moving into motion pictures and is producing a film based on the Bratz dolls. Are you familiar with these dolls? Huge toys, these Bratz. And there's going to be Bratz the movie, where she is producing the film, and it will also play a major character in the film. It's a live-action adaptation of the Bratz characters, so you get to see the Bratz girls live.
That sounds unnecessary.
Are they drunk?
It'll be a smash hit, I'll tell you that much right now.
Yeah.
And another motion picture also in the works. Apparently Tom Hanks is bringing the Broadway musical Mamma Mia to the big screen. Musicals are back, people. After Chicago and Dreamgirls now, Mamma Mia, which was a huge hit internationally around the world. The music of ABBA, of course, featured in that. Tom Hanks will be producing, and apparently Meryl Streep will star in the film.
Heck.
Huh. Yeah, she's awful. Although she can sing.
Few people want to see something really funny. Go search for ABBA videos. They were making their videos when videos were first starting.
Dude, those are the greatest videos ever.
And they are laughably awful.
Oh, how dare you, sir?
ABBA, go search for it.
How dare you?
So great.
Love those videos. They have one where they're in Fernando, and they're sitting around a fire, and they're inside a studio. I love that. Everything's shot in the studio. Everything.
Everything is awful.
And lastly, we've lost a legend.
Uh-oh.
Lily Munster from the famous TV sitcom from the 60s, The Munsters. She's passed away at 84 years old today.
Wow.
If I was Yvonne DeCaro, I'd be so pissed off right now. Because no one has mentioned her name ever in the past 40 years.
Right.
And she had to die to get her name back in the press again.
Yeah.
She would die for this kind of publicity if she was alive.
She did, actually.
Oh,
but
that's
then
true.
She died.
Yeah, that's
we
true.
We had her as a guest on the Kevin and Bean Show in the early years, right?
No, you didn't.
We did?
We did. Yeah.
You didn't.
I don't remember that at all.
Why don't you ask the amazing Tom Silver for that memory and have him erase that one, Bean, because I don't think you did.
That's one you
we
don't
really
need.
Did.
You didn't. She was Herman's wife.
Yes.
Lily, where's Grandpa? Darn, 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 darn.
Love that show. Anyway, she's dead.
Touching. That's touching tribute.
Tribute.
Well, what am I going to do? Bring her back to life? I got no control over it.
I'm just saying.
Those
just
are the facts.
Put that on her tombstone. I love that show, but now she's dead.
Those are the facts, people. Today's celebrity birthdays. Clarence Clemons, the big man from Bruce Springsteen's E Street Band. He is 65 years old today. Our buddy Tom Dumont from No Doubt is 39. Mary J. Blige is 36 years old today. And Amanda Peet, who is lovely. Remember the whole nine yards he was in with Matthew
Perry?
Oh,
yeah.
Matthew Perry and Bruce Willis. She's great in that.
Yep.
Also great in Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, and she's pregnant. Oh, well, what are you going to do? She's 35 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, let's talk about maybe the best damn TV show on right now. It's called I Love New York.
Yes.
I haven't seen this yet.
New York is a character that was on The Flavor of Love with Flava Flav. Now she's got her own show. She's hateable. She's the one who said, I never apologize because I'm never wrong.
Right.
She got in fights. She got. She was the one that came back two seasons, and then he chose somebody else for the second season in a row.
And as Lisa pointed out, here's the world we live in. This is the woman that gets her own show.
Yes.
Any of the girls who are in that house who might have been sweet and decent, no, they're already forgotten, but New York is the star.
No one cares about them. She's fascinating to watch. So she gets her own show. She gets her own mansion. She gets 20 guys.
Yeah.
And she gets to try and find true love, as she says. I wish they'd all just stop saying that.
I just want to be on TV.
I know it's a competition and all, but this whole true love thing is just BS from top to bottom. But these are the kind of guys that are in the house that are trying to win her heart.
New York walked out looking fine as hell, and she almost gave me a wooden.
Almost. When a girl almost gives you a wooden, you know something's happening. That's what he said, wooden, by the way.
He did, I didn't know that.
She almost gave me a wooden. So there's a white guy named Token that's on the show, and
of course,
he's got the hair that's going straight back, and he's got the shirt open to the belly button, always. He just looks so ridiculous, and this is his little intro.
First, I want to let you know that my name is Cupid. I'm the Romanian god for love. The cover of my book might not be the sexiest or the most expensive.
Okay.
But my pages will put you in a dream.
Oh. Boom!
Oh, barf.
My pages will put you in a dream. And then he went on to tell her how he lost his little doggy, his little princess, 3 weeks ago, and he's so brokenhearted, and he'll treat her like a princess, too. So that's the kind of guy that we got going there. Then there's a guy named Chance. Chance is straight thug. He's just a thug. So he's sitting on the bench.
But he's a thug looking for love.
Yes. So he's sitting on the bench, and he's talking to New York. And the dorkiest white guy in the world, Mr. Boston, comes walking up and interrupts them. And he's not happy about that at all.
Man, next thing I know, this nerdy ass we're looking like Al Gore's little nephew come holler at me and get all in my business and almost... Boy, that was first sign of death.
I don't know what he said there at the end.
Is he deaf?
Fresh sign of death? First sign of death? I don't know what he said. It didn't sound good, though. And Mr. Boston comes back and says, you need Ritalin. How about that? You need Ritalin.
Ooh,
and that sets off Chance.
That Boston told me I need Ritalin and like that, man. I need Ritalin and man. I need Ritalin. Whew, man, come on, man. What is Ritalin?
There you go. So that's his knowledge. He has no idea what Ritalin is.
He's so insulted. Oh, wait. What's he saying?
Right. So the thug guy, you would guess New York is hot for. And here are the three things that New York looks for in a man.
The thing about Chance that is getting me going and getting my motors grinding is he is a thug. And he's not a fake thug.
Right.
He's dangerous.
One.
He wears baggy clothes.
Two.
He drinks a lot. I like that.
Three. That's what she's looking for right there. She's got her perfect man.
Oh, my God.
Guys, if...
Dangerous, baggy clothes. Come on.
He drinks a lot.
Right. And he drinks a lot.
If you're really a thug, are you going on a VH1 reality show?
Yeah.
Really?
I don't know if any of these guys are real. They have this fake butler guy who's super, super, like, way too gay.
Yeah.
You don't even buy it. You just think it's a guy trying to act like he's gay. But anyway, New York's mom, who everyone hates as well, is there in the house, and she's helping him pick. And she has a special talent, and she's going to approach every one of the 20 guys.
Some of them, like, they had, like, a touch of gay, you know, like, undercover gay to them. You know, I can tell a gay person.
Well, like, are you gay?
No, I'm not.
Are you gay? How do you know? Are you gay?
No.
Are you gay? Have you ever had a man come on to you?
No.
Who waxes your eyebrows? They look good.
I tweezed them out myself the last 2 days.
You did a good job. Oh, my God. I'm impressed. Okay. Have you slept with any men?
Have you slept with any men?
She's subtle.
She asks
a line of questioning.
Every single guy if he's gay. That's what she wants to find out.
She could just sniff him out.
Well, she said she could, but apparently she couldn't. So the guy that she's saying tweezed his eyebrows, she comes to a conclusion, and thank God he doesn't have a lack of self-esteem.
He's gay.
No, I'm not feeling that. Maybe she thinks I might be attracted to men because girls think I'm so damn good looking that like they're scared to even approach me.
Maybe that's why. Maybe it's because I'm so good looking, women are afraid of me. Maybe that's why she thinks so.
I know what that's like.
So mom sits down with all the guys, and she has talks with them. And this Mr. Boston, this white guy that I was telling you that interrupted Chance in the beginning of the show, he is a piece of work. And he sits down with her mom and really just wows her.
I work as an accountant.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, accounts are known to be boring.
Okay. Did you know New York was black?
Yeah. Well, sister.
Somewhere.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yes. And that is, you know, perfectly okay with me. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And the good thing, this is the 21st century.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Remember that conversation, if you would, because it's going to come up a little bit later.
Okay.
How he handled her like he manhandled her, didn't he? So then Chance comes to sit down, the thug, and mom blows smoke in his face and tells him to go away.
Ooh.
Not a good idea.
Shut up!
Yeah, ain't nobody shutting
up!
Yeah, I got your daughter with your six
shut
nails!
Shut up! You are an idiot! You know what? You are out of here!
Ain't nobody blowing smoke in my face! This real! Don't nobody blow smoke in my face! This L.A. this stallion ass, man! Don't nobody blow smoke in famous face! Yeah, I don't care if your mama or his mama or his grandma. If they come disrespecting you, man, you tell them I felt disrespected, man, in a good manner. Kick me out!
Kick me out, he's yelling.
Damn.
This first night, first day, by the way, first day.
What's the Stallionaires? Is that his gang or something?
It looks like he had an S that's like a dollar sign on his hat. Probably. I don't have any idea. So obviously, he's already made an enemy of mom.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first day. They haven't even kicked anybody out yet. And they're going to have to kick five people off before the end of the show. All right, so he's yelling at everybody. Meanwhile, Mr. Boston, remember the guy that just sat down and she asked him if he knew her daughter was black and he was really smooth?
I am a little nervous about elimination. I had a chance with New York's mom. I charmed her pants off.
Yeah, he sure did. He was smooth.
He charmed her pants off. So they get back. They get to the end of the show where she has to kick off five guys on the first day. Five guys she's going to kick off. She has six there. Chance is one of them.
Yeah.
And mom is sitting by her side.
I'm going to follow my heart. And this last chain. Goes to you, Chance.
Are you out of your mind?
Mom.
No way. I don't want him here. She knows not to go against my word. I don't know what's up with that, but I want him out of here now.
So that didn't work out quite as well as she had hoped.
Mom's not getting a little bit too involved in who her daughter selects, is she?
Not a bit, no. She's not controlling in the least. So New York is in that weird position of having to face everybody and kick people out. So to try and soften the blow a little bit for the guys who didn't get the necklace with the gigantic letters that say, I love New York. These are the five guys that are going home. She tries to soothe their feelings a little bit.
For the five men that are here that don't have a chain, you're just not good enough for me.
Well, that does make them feel better. That's a soft landing.
You're just not good enough for me. And then she starts naming off what's wrong with each one. And one of the guys, T-Bone, is about 300 pounds. He's got Doto eyes. He's got effed up eyes. And
are you sure it wasn't just Forrest Whitaker on the show?
She's at least sensitive about that.
One was here for acting, one was a pansy, and one couldn't control his eye sockets.
Oh, my.
So that's why she
kicked
him off.
She's the worst person ever.
It's I Love New York. It's on VH1. She's narrowed it down to 15. One lucky guy is going to win her heart.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good show.
Right now, though, we'll go to the email bag. You can write to any of us. If you have trouble remembering our very complex and difficult email addresses, you can go to krock.com and learn things like Lisa at krock.com, Lightning at krock.com. etc.
Yes.
The only one of us that enjoys the forwards, though, is Bean at KROQ.com.
Oh, please don't say that.
The subject line is Lisa pole dancing. Are there any pictures of Lisa at the pole dancing class? Oh, please, please say there is. That's Jose. Here's Nick. If I was driving right now, I would have crashed. Instead, I'm just getting weird looks from the people in the office because I can't keep this at a low volume. Ask Lisa May if she learned how to lube the pole up. You're doing the Lord's work over there, Nick. And finally, dear Kevin, Tim here, first-time emailer, and I'd like to thank everybody for something, as I've been suffering from erectile dysfunction. Lately, much to my shame, but that is all solved now thanks to Lisa and her pole dancing education.
I cure medical problems.
Thankfully brought to the air by the Kevins and the Beans, the beautiful radio program, My Erectile Dysfunction is cured. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you very much. Let the mad lovin' commence.
So what you're going to do is you're going to get down on your knees.
Oh, I've done this before.
Oh, okay.
Yes, she has.
I also knew how to lube a pole.
Yeah.
Why are there no photos or video of you at pole dancing? In class, because is unacceptable.
There has to be.
There were other people there, and you know,
if anybody took
one of them could have taken a picture. Yeah,
no, they didn't want to be.
If anyone took pictures, send them.
Dear Kevin, I mean, this email begins. Heard your topic yesterday. You were talking about people who are really, really cheap. Well, my dad taught me how to drive and told me not to turn on the turn signal too soon because I'd be wasting flashes. How's that for a cheap mother effer, Cindy?
Wasting flashes?
Can you believe that?
And at a time when we're depending on the Middle East for flashes. That is just ridiculous. Here's a note from Manel, frequent listener and caller, and we love him. Mm-hmm. He's a black guy and a funny, funny guy. He says, dude, I will so stomp the yard with you. I was trying to find people to go with me tomorrow.
Yeah.
I went to a black college and step shows rule. Okay, I'm sorry, I lied. They suck. And those gay-ass steppers were all the guys who couldn't make the football team. As a matter of fact, they filmed most of the movie at my school, Morehouse College, which is an all-boys college. So basically what you have is young black gay men who can't play football. So instead, they dance. Oh, no.
Dance.
I love it. You really going to go see Stop the Yard after the show
tomorrow? Are you kidding?
I'm in. Okay.
So my type of movie.
Yeah. All right. Mike, give me the greatest musical entertainer known to man today as I read this final email. Dear Kevin and Bean, our daughter just turned 18 today, and I delivered to her what I thought was the ultimate birthday gift, Wing Sings AC/DC. Now she says I've ruined her special day.
What?
I need some assistance in my defense. Who is correct here? Pat, you did the Lord's work. You are right.
Say better than the original?
Better? Absolutely better, and I think AC/DC would agree. And furthermore, if this daughter can't appreciate the magic of Wing, kick her out of the house on her 18th birthday, as far as I'm concerned. She's brought shame onto your family, Pat. You did the right thing.
Sing it if you know it. Okay. Oh, it's over.
Wow. It was boom. Just
was
over.
Something,
over.
Wasn't it? Wow.
I can't hear the song. Is that what you said?
I put on my headphones and I said to Mike, I can't hear anything. And then I started to turn on my microphone. He said, that's because the song's over.
Yeah.
Oh, dear God.
You should go in the air before that song's over. That's what you should try to do in the future.
This place is run like an amateur whorehouse.
You know what? I changed my whole opinion about this next break. I think we need some help. I think we need a new hire.
Stop it.
I think we need a new employee.
And a child shall lead them, Ralph. You figure we can't do any worse than what we would do with the grown-ups in charge, right?
That's what I'm saying.
Dear Kevin, Bean, Ralph, and Lisa Ding, I am writing to you because you're the only ones who can save my life. Let me start by telling you that I'm really hot. I also majored in broadcasting, worked for both TV and radio stations, and was a VJ for a syndicated video show. That is when tragedy struck.
Dun, dun, dun. Okay, now hold on. Tragedy struck. Was she hit by a car and is now in a wheelchair and is unable to work? I mean, what happened?
That's not that, no. Any other guesses?
She was a VJ, a broadcaster. She's hot.
Tragedy struck.
Cancer?
She got cancer? Yeah, no, she cancer. Lost her voice. No.
She had spontaneous vaginal explosions?
Yes. No, oh, she no. says, she goes on, she says, that's when tragedy struck. I dropped out of college, got married, had kids, and ended up working for my husband's heating and air conditioning business.
That's what Ralph was saying, the spontaneous vaginal combustion.
Wow, that is
tragedy. Was struck isn't probably how I'd put that.
Hey, Susan?
Yes?
Tragedy struck. Well, it just sounds like you made some really dumb decisions.
Well, not too dumb. I mean, I'm still married. I still love my husband and kids and everything.
Well, then that's hardly a tragedy. it sounds like the opposite of a tragedy, actually.
In that I am Lynette from Desperate Housewives. I have suddenly woken up and gone, wait a minute, what happened to my life?
Yeah.
What's that tragedy striking you?
Yeah, what happened to your life is you got everything that you wanted. You wanted to get married and have kids, and you did. And there are lots of people out there who still have that dream, yet you're already living it and bitching about it.
Tragedy striking is you taking a jog and getting hit by lightning. That's tragedy striking.
Oh. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, maybe. Yes, there's different forms of tragedy.
Hire me to work for your show. I'm fun, easy to get along with. And did I mention? I'm hot. I don't care.
You did mention that.
I don't care what position you hire me for. I can help Dave answer phones, fill in for anyone. I'll even be the new sports guy. In return, you'll get a really attractive employee who will do almost anything for the show.
That would be a tragedy.
Like,
you working for us, that would be tragic.
At one point, she says, Ralph, you're always reporting on how celebrities are saving people's lives. Now here's your chance.
Yes.
So you're going to die if we don't hire you, Susan?
Maybe not die, but lose my sanity.
Wow. Quiet desperation is what's eating it away at Susan here. What made you think to write to us, and did you send the same email to Seacrest and Big Boy?
No, I did not. You guys are the only one that got the email. I figure I'm spending my mornings with you anyways. I might as well be getting paid for it.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, paid? What? Yeah. Paid?
Yeah, she wants a job.
Well, I do have a family to feed here.
Well, doesn't your husband have his own company?
He does. Well,
he's got to be making bucks. His heating and air conditioning bastards, they charge you an arm and a leg when they come to my house.
Well, maybe you're using the wrong company.
Are you working now or do you have a job now?
I do. I still work for my...
Oh, you still do? Okay.
You know, Susan, it's no secret there that... I will leave at any moment if I get something better.
You will just dump your husband and leave him in the lurch to come work for a radio station.
So what have you done to find something better, aside from email us?
Well, this is the first step.
This is the beginning.
Yes, this is the beginning.
Well, it's a start. Susan, I don't blame you. You got to start someplace.
This is step one.
I just think walking to the station and applying for a job might be a good way to do it, too.
Yes, but the thing is
Lisa's threatened, Susan. That's what's going on.
Hey.
And tried to apply.
You guys have been
to show up and say, oh, yes, look, I haven't worked in broadcasting
Susan,
in 15 years. Hire me.
I don't know what gives you the idea that we would be swayed by the fact that you're hot.
Yeah.
I mean,
where does that come from?
Where is that? That seems like it's coming right out of left
field.
That's unlike us.
Shh.
I know.
That's unlike us.
I know.
Shut up, please. Hey, Susan, how old are these little monsters of yours? What ages are they?
My daughter is 10 and my son is 7.
So they don't need you in the mornings anymore, right? They're pretty much old enough to be out on their own in the morning.
Yeah.
In terms of getting ready for school and finding their way to the classroom.
Get yourselves up. Get some breakfast.
Drive yourself to school.
Head over to school.
Right. They're good.
Knock on a neighbor's door. Go with them.
So
get me some smokes while you're out.
10 and 8, you're ready to pretty much abandon them and start working in the morning, right?
Yes. Why? Like you said, I've got a husband. He's driving him to school this morning. We're good.
So basically, you're going to apply here. We're going to supposedly give you a job that pays. And then you're going to start writing these emails to everybody else saying, I got to get out. I don't know what I'm doing on the Kevin and Bean show.
I had a wonderful family and children until tragedy struck. I started working for Kevin and Bean. And now, please, you're the only one who can save my life. Please give me another job.
Well, if Kevin and Bean is a tragedy,
trust me, it is. Trust me, it is.
Yeah, Ralph would know. Listen, I'm one of us, and I'm telling you it is.
Susan, I just don't...
I think I can summarize, Bean.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think I can summarize.
Uh-huh.
No.
Well, we don't really... I mean, we don't want to dismiss her outright. Yeah, we do have a sports opening. That is true.
Do you know anything about sports, Susan?
Yeah, I kind of put in that email that... all the scores, the stats would probably be wrong.
Well,
I would have
that's
to
what
make
we have
up
now.
Things about the athletes. But, you know, hey, you'd have your sports segment back.
Who's doing better, Lakers or Clippers right now?
Lakers.
Wow. Oh, hey. That's a good guess.
Right,
that's 50-50
that.
That's
a good
right
guess.
There.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
Although the Clippers were doing better at the very beginning, weren't they?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, they started out pretty good this year. All right. Well, listen, Susan, I'm glad you thought of us.
Who's the quarterback for the San Diego Chargers?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Who's the quarterback for the San Diego Chargers?
I don't have a clue.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, hang on to your email in the event that something with all of your vast experience becomes available.
In
the event that they come to us and they say, Kevin Bean, we've got a lot of extra money and we just don't know what to do with it.
Could you please just get another body on your show to take some of this salary off our hands?
If that happens,
hey,
we'll definitely call you.
We have way too much of this annoying money.
Well, you guys are always looking for the interns. I know you don't have to pay the interns. But
exactly. They don't get paid anything, Susan.
If you could maybe coerce them to pay a little
bit,
then you get...
The thing you don't know about the interns is tragedy strikes them all.
That's right.
I'm serious.
Real
Something
tragedy.
Goes like seriously wrong with every intern that comes on our show.
Like car crashes and illnesses and all kinds of stuff. There's some sort of curse going
People
on with
die.
Our interns.
Whenever they become our interns, somebody dies. It's really, it's ugly. Yeah.
We had one intern who was fine till she started working on our show. Then she inexplicably started having sex with every person she met.
Yeah.
Remember her,
Abe?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
All right. Well, listen, Susan, I'm glad you wrote. I'm glad we had a chance to chat with you. And good luck. You know, there's always divorce and abandonment of the family. I mean, you always got that to look forward to.
Oh, yes. That's an option.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you seem like a charming lady with your priorities completely screwed up. But I hope things work out for you and you do find work because you seem like you have a nice personality.
Well, thank you. But I'm telling you, I'm hot. You got to.
You know, this is radio, Susan. That doesn't really help us at all.
Well,
it helps you guys.
It helps some. I mean, let's face it. If she's going to come topless, then we'll talk.
Oh, wait a minute. I didn't realize that was an option.
I didn't hear that.
Is there a nudity clause in that email?
She said in the email, quote, I will do almost anything for the show.
Right. So,
I'd be happy to take Lisa May's pole dancing class.
Time for topless sports. Here's Susan. That kind of thing.
Do you have a morally casual attitude, Susan?
Well, you know, my dad's a minister and all the preacher's kids are the worst.
That's true.
That's right.
They rebel. Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
Okay, no.
All right. We're out of time, but thank you, Susan. Good to talk to you.
Thank
we
you
love you.
Too.
Have a good life with all that tragedy. Bye.
Okay,
bye. First, though, it is time for the Showbiz Beat with Ralph.
Oprah Winfrey's been asked by ABC to produce a pre-Oscar special with three celebrity interviews. I know it sounds a lot like the show that Barbara Walters always does before the Oscars, but this one's a little different. I think it's going to be better. Oprah's having three Oscar winners, Julia Roberts, Nicole Kidman, and Jamie Foxx, interview three other Oscar winners. So Julia Roberts will be interviewing George Clooney.
Yeah.
That might be interesting.
No.
Why wouldn't that be interesting?
I don't know. They don't know
They're
how
really good
interview.
Friends. It'd be fun to hear
they
them talk
together.
To each other.
There might be stuff
You'd rather
that...
see Barbara Walters or Oprah Winfrey interview George Clooney?
No, it just doesn't sound that good. Who else?
We've got Nicole Kidman interviewing Russell Crowe.
Okay.
And Jamie Foxx is going to interview Sidney Poitier.
Hmm.
Special set to air that. February 22nd. And the Academy Awards air 3 days later. So sounds like a pretty good idea there from Orca for a change. American Idol's coming around again next week. Everyone is excited except for Kevin.
Sorry.
If you always wanted to try out for American Idol, but you didn't want to wait your turn behind 5,000 other people at a casting call, then just go to Vegas because Madame Tussauds Wax Museum has opened a new attraction where you can sing karaoke in front of wax statues of Simon Cowell and Ryan Seacrest. That is a good time.
That is pathetic.
Ralph, you have to go do that this weekend with your
Come
love.
Come on.
Like, I'm not going to. You kidding me?
You know what's going to happen, though? Ralph's going to be in Vegas this weekend, and he's going to think, I should go do that. And he's going to go, no, I could gamble or go to
so
strip club.
So going to sing in front of Simon Cowell. Wonder if he'll like my work. How do you tell the difference between a wax figure of Ryan Seacrest and the real Ryan Seacrest?
That's a good question.
It could be him, for all I know. By the way, Advertising Age magazine reports that the Idol franchise, what do you think it's worth?
I don't know. You mean like if somebody were to buy it to take it over?
If you're going to take it over, what would be the price tag on the value of owning the American Idol franchise?
$400.
$400, you think?
More?
I say higher.
Higher?
Try $2.5 billion.
Oh, wow.
Come on.
Well, the show sells $500 million in advertising every season, Kevin.
Wow.
So at least in advertising revenue, you're going to make $500 million.
Dude.
Each season air it.
It is the number one and number two show every single week when it airs by a long shot.
But then you have to pay off the guys that Paula Abdul allegedly sleeps with. You know, you got some extra costs there.
By the way, Nestle's just announced they're releasing the American Idol candy bar. So, it's even more money for the American Idol people.
Wow.
Tom Hanks has announced that he's going to be producing a big screen version of the Broadway musical Mamma Mia. Of course, based on the music of ABBA. It is going to star Meryl Streep, according to Hollywood Reporter. If you haven't seen the stage show, it's real good. It's you can see it in Vegas now. It's all over the place. It's about a woman who is throwing a wedding for her daughter and doesn't know really who the identity of the father is. Or at least the bride doesn't know. And they sing all these ABBA songs and stuff. It's a good time. It has grossed more than $1 billion internationally, this musical, by the way. So,
wow.
A lot of people interested in seeing that. Lindsay Lohan got into another cat fight over the weekend. Apparently, she was in Miami at a place called the Shore Club when Michelle Trachtenberg, who, of course, you may know as the little sister of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, she's also been in a bunch of movies, she walked in, and I had no idea, but the two apparently can't stand each other. Lindsay shouted to management, "Get her the F out of here!" And then followed up that suggestion by threatening to beat her up.
Yes.
She's a delicate little flower.
Let him go at it.
It's amazing after that appendectomy, she's ready to throw down. Because usually you're a little sore after that.
It was pretty quick.
Yeah. And Kelly Osbourne's horrifying us all with the following news. She has told Closer magazine that she would like to do a spread for Playboy magazine.
Oh, no. Dear God, no.
Well, they do airbrush.
Oh, there's not enough air.
I just threw up.
It's not enough brushes.
That's,
She wants to do it fully nude, she's announced.
No.
And with no shaving or waxing.
I just threw up in my mouth.
Nice.
Wow, you guys are really in tune.
Oh.
After 15 years.
How about that? Finally.
You guys know what you're doing.
Ugh.
And sad news, Drew Barrymore has apparently ended her relationship with her boyfriend, Fabrizio Moretti. Apparently they've been together for 5 years and things just have fallen apart.
What are you talking about?
Dewan's very happy.
Yes, he is.
They split up. She is living separately now. He's living back in his old apartment. Apparently, this all started back in February of 2005. There were rumors of a rift starting when Drew was noticeably absent from Julian Casablancas' wedding. He, of course, the front man for the Strokes. She didn't appear. And then a couple months later, they got into a very public argument in Santa Monica that everyone sort of was witness to. So there's some tensions there, and it looks like it's finally it. So. And lastly, Penelope Cruz has laughed off rumors that she's having a lesbian relationship with her friend Salma Hayek.
Come on, just let us have it for a while.
Two have been best friends for 6 years, and recently, Salma and Penelope were posing for pictures, and Cruz grabbed her ass. And everyone took photos of it, and they were published, and that added fuel to the fire of the rumors that perhaps they were having a relationship. But she was on David Letterman on Tuesday, and she said no. She said they're very close. They're like sisters, she said. Can I be your brother? If that's how you are with
I'm no school administrator, but there's an extension program going on in my trousers.
And lastly, Yvonne DiCarlo, who played Lily Munster on the classic TV sitcom The Munsters. She has passed away at the age of 84 years old today. She had a long, successful Hollywood career, including playing the wife of Moses in The Ten Commandments, played by Charlton Heston.
I didn't know she did that.
Yeah. She was in a bunch of movies, and she was quite sporty back in the 50s. She was good-looking broad. Mm-hmm. Apparently, she took the role in The Munsters just for the cash. Her husband was in the hospital. He was a stuntman and had one of his legs crushed under a wagon.
He was doing a stunt.
And so she had to help pay for his medical bills, took the gig, figured it would never go anywhere, and is probably the most famous thing she ever did in her career. 84 years old today. Today's celebrity birthdays, Clarence Clemons, the big man. Saxophone player for Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band, 65 years old today. Tom Dumont from No Doubt is 39 years old today. Mary J. Blige turns 36. Amanda Peet turns 35 years old today. And our own assistant producer, Alex, super whore. Is very close to menopause. I'm not sure how old she is.
Stop it.
I know she was complaining of hot flashes in the office. And I think I can hear her vagina drying out.
She's like...
Aww. You can listen really carefully.
She's like early 20s, and she's scared to death of two things. One is spiders, one is menopause. We're like, what?
Imagine if she had spiders in her vulva while she was going through menopause.
So we're else trying to drive her into a...
That would be the worst.
Into early madness, menopause.
The worst of all possible situations.
Yes, it would.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Let's hear the tape about the hot new thing in wedding proposals.
You can't just drop to one knee and pop the question anymore. Case in point, the Boise State Sweethearts, who got engaged on national TV after the Fiesta Bowl upset. They were here last week. Such an adorable couple. So now buzz is building over a mystery suitor, a man who is asking for help in staging what he calls the most public declaration of love in the history of mankind. That's how he phrases it. He wants to ask his girlfriend to marry him during the Super Bowl.
Okay, before we talk to the guy behind MySuperProposal.com, and you can check out the website and find out what he's doing, and remarkably, by the way, keeping it a complete secret from his girlfriend. She doesn't even know any of this is going on, and here he is on, you know, Good Morning America and
oh
all
my
these shows.
Gosh.
Right. He's got to hide it all from her, which is pretty remarkable itself. But doesn't it seem like, and the Boise State one is another example, doesn't it seem like the proposals have gotten away from, hey, this is about my love for you and my wanting to spend the rest of my life with you? It's really more, hey, look how impressive I am, and hey, look at me.
How
does it seem like it's
you?
Getting into that territory a little bit?
How
some
do
of these
you
proposals
know
lately?
This guy just doesn't love his girl more than you do?
More than anybody.
JP, are we allowed to call you that?
Yeah.
Hope so. Hope so. Just did. Okay.
I have that right. Your girlfriend doesn't know anything about what you're trying to do with raising money for the Super Bowl commercial, right, JP?
No, she's never known about it. It's
So you put up a website. You put up a website, and people send you money, and you're trying to raise enough money to actually buy a commercial during the Super Bowl. Which
no, so that's not quite
okay.
Correct.
I'm sorry.
So
go ahead.
Initially, that was the plan, but once I got to about $75,000 in November, I kind of realized, well, this is not going to get to $2.5 million. The money that was raised is actually going to. A charity to Vanderbilt Children's Hospital in Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay, so, I like you way more already.
So you've abandoned the idea of doing it during the Super Bowl?
Because
I read that the commercials do cost $2.5 million, and you were going to try and raise enough money so that one of the sponsors would let you do this during their time.
Right. So now I'm hoping for even more charity from one of the sponsors that they'll actually pick it up. And the good news is that and completely shockingly, there have been a bunch of them who have contacted me. Several different advertisers said, that they're interested potentially in sponsoring, 15 or 30 seconds for me to do this. So,
saying that they would do it for free. It's not going to cost you anything.
Yeah. Basically, they do it for free, and they just use that as their advertising time.
Hmm.
Huh.
Wow.
Now, would it be a commercial that was pre-produced, or is it something you'd do live, or how would it work?
So I think it would be pre-produced, although one advertiser did ask if I wanted tickets to go to the Super Bowl with my girlfriend, and I told them that would probably spoil the secret pretty quick.
No kidding, yeah. So, okay, so it would be you on tape basically saying, hi, I know this is a little bit of a surprise, but it's me, honey, and will you marry me? I love you, blah, blah, blah. It would be like a 10-second spot during the Super Bowl.
That is exactly it. And I was kind of thinking, like, last night, I was thinking, she's probably going to initially think that I just somehow, like, hijacked 15 seconds in the one broadcast that's coming into, like, our place.
Oh, right, just to your TV, right.
Right. And not realize that it's nationwide. But
JP, what is it in me that responds to that? Like, if I saw that during the Super Bowl, I would just go, douche. And go get it. It's like you have to outdo everybody, and nothing's ever good enough. And how are you going to top that? And I don't know.
It seems like you're turning the proposal into a competition with all other guys rather than making it about you and your lady.
Right.
Huh. Well, so I don't think that I would think of it that way, and I definitely wouldn't think of it as a competition or as one-upsmanship. It's just a crazy idea that somehow became reality beyond, all luck and all reason. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it seems like something that shouldn't be compared against, like, oh, it was more impressive that some guy did it on the Super Bowl. I don't think that's the case. I think, if it were me, let's say, and I saw it with my girlfriend,
right,
and, were to propose in a restaurant, somewhere during a vacation, I don't think that, that this experience would lessen that or would make that any less worthy or worthwhile.
Hmm.
I think it's just something amazing that managed to happen.
But are you the type of guy that on your first anniversary, you're going to have to figure out a way to top that, and then you're going to have to figure out a way to top that?
I don't think so. I would say that most of our relationship, and our anniversaries and stuff have been pretty quiet and traditional, just go out to dinner somewhere. So,
you know, the sad thing for me in hearing that it's probably going to be a pre-taped proposal if it ends up airing during the Super Bowl coming up in February is that we don't get the opportunity to see her say no, because
you do get to see. So basically it would play during the Super Bowl, and then I think we're planning on, well, we usually every year watch the Super Bowl, like with my parents. My dad's a big football fan. So we're just going to, you know, go over there and someone will whip out a camcorder and then you can see the video of her saying yes or no.
Oh, I hope she says no. I so hope she says no. How long have you been with her?
We've been dating for a long time, actually. So more than 2 years. But
so you kind of know the answer already.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about, you know, family and marriage and, you know, having a life together and stuff. So I don't think the proposal itself will be a huge shock. It's just a format and a venue.
Yeah, I feel bad for the poor kid from Boise State, though, who has the coolest proposal of 2007 at the Fiesta Bowl, and then you come along, and all of a sudden he's gone. He's off the headlines, man. He's out. You've already beat him.
I've been working on it since late August. But yeah, I mean, his proposal was definitely amazing, and I got to see that, and I thought, you know, that was pretty terrific. And I think actually it got a lot of people even more interested in talking about, you know, this thing that was going on with me. So.
Dude, you should contact the Chargers or one of the teams that's expected to go to the game and ask them if you can play.
Oh, there you
and
go.
Then win the game out of safety.
Yes. And
yeah,
then
I do so well.
Yeah. All right.
You know, mysuperproposal.com again is the site. And just real quick, JP, before we let you go, so you're not doing the idea that we originally talked about, but so people go to your site now and you're still asking for donations for this charity in Vanderbilt? Is that what you're doing?
You can still make donations to Vanderbilt, but no, I'm not actively asking at this point.
Okay, so, but it's there if, and, it's there if people want to donate.
Yeah, that video that goes on afterwards, there's, you know, advertisers who are sponsoring that video as well, and then that's expected to raise a lot of money, and some of that money is going to go to charity as well, and then some of it goes to the people who host.
I gotcha. The internet's amazing for stuff like this, isn't it? This wouldn't even have been possible a few years ago, but now it's everywhere. You don't sound as much like a douchebag as we thought you would. I just want to encourage people out there. I just want to encourage people out there listening to this to not think, well, I can't just ask my girl privately now because it doesn't mean anything or it isn't as cool or it doesn't matter. Because the key here is the pledging of your lives together. The key here is that you're getting engaged.
Totally
that's the big.
You.
That's the big story, not how it's done.
I totally agree with you.
Says the guy who said that night, I don't know, what do you want to do? You want to watch TV or go to Vegas and get married?
Yeah.
I know. Well, I'm not I'm not the king of the proposals.
That was his proposal. All right, JP, thanks for coming on the show with us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet.
Best of luck. Bye now.
Take care.
All right, we're going to take some calls, wedding proposals.
Because they are getting bigger and bigger and more showing.
There's so much. It's so much pressure to have the ultimate story.
You know, it also reminds me of what happened with wedding rings not all that long ago. I noticed maybe 7 years ago, all of a sudden women were just sporting these enormous rings and everyone had a bigger ring than the last one. And that just got to be the deal. You have to have this huge ring.
Well, let me ask you about that, Lisa, because that kind of ties into the same thing with the engagement. Is this coming? Are the guys turning crazy about these proposals because of the pressure the women and the women's friends are putting on them to have a great story? It's not enough to come in the office Monday morning and go, hey, I got engaged over the weekend. Now it's how did he do it? And if the story is less than fireworks, a helicopter, and a jumbotron, all of a sudden you're an a-hole.
Yeah, I think that might be a factor. I definitely think that is for the ring thing.
The girl pressure.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
For the proposal, too, I think, because
probably.
They do say, oh, you got engaged. How did he do it? How?
And you guys have all witnessed that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. The women have a tremendous amount of pressure on them. If it's a lame way that the guy proposed, the woman has to make something up, you know?
Yeah.
And then the police, you know, came over, and then there was a flyover, and then they painted it in the sky, and they're making up all this crap. 1-800-520-1067 if you tried, especially if it went poorly.
Because when those elaborate plans happen, they often don't.
The better the plan, the more poorly they can go. So 1-800-520-1067, and we'll take your calls next. We were just talking a minute ago to a guy who wanted to propose to his girlfriend on a commercial in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Seems like this may be getting out of hand just a bit.
Here's the competition, too, and here's maybe this is, you know, the problem with guys is they're competitive. Charlie emails, hey, I'll up that guy in a few years and propose at the Olympics. I mean, people are already trying to figure out how to beat this guy. You know what I mean? And it's not about the proposal.
Yes, it is, Bean. You don't know anything.
1-800-520-1067 if you have a crazy over-the-top proposal like our man Brandon. He's in Culver City. Brandon, I know you want to brag about what a great guy you are. What'd you do?
Okay, so I was interning in San Fran, and she was interning in New York.
Right.
And being bicoastal just kind of made us realize that was time. So I got a hold of her friends and told them to get her to the top of the Empire State Building.
Mm-hmm. And you climbed up the outside of it?
Yeah, I wish. I wish.
An ape?
Yeah. All right, go ahead.
So I flew out there and sat up there with... took the train from the airport right to the Penn Station, went to the Empire State Building with two bags, and she really didn't want to go, and so I was sitting up there with my luggage at the top of the Empire State Building, post 9/11,
yeah.
And the security was going to kill me.
Right.
And I got her set up, so she was taking a picture of her friends, and I came up right behind her, and I said, "Hey, babe," and she turns around and just starts freaking out, "What are you doing here? What are you doing here?" And got down on one knee, and everybody started clapping, and there's a lady who we didn't even know, and she just started bawling. Like, this is so beautiful. This is so beautiful. And she said yes, and it was great.
All right,
so.
That's a good one.
It is.
Yeah, you're something.
She has a great story.
You're better than all of us.
By the way, probably hundreds of people every year get engaged up at the top of the Empire State Building. Very popular spot to do that. So, Brendan, you're not all that, okay?
All right, let's go to...
I'm just saying.
Lindsay from Ventura. Good morning, Lindsay.
Hey, guys. Hey, hey. Lisa.
Hello.
How did yours happen?
Well, we actually, my now husband and I had gone to France to do World War II studies for school. It was like at the very last class we had to take in college. Mm-hmm. And we were in Normandy. We were on this. It was like the second day that we were there. And we were on this really old castle. It was William the Conqueror's castle, built in like 1011 or something. It's about 1,000 years old. And we're up there with our classmates. And... he just asked me to marry him right there in front of everybody.
Did you say no?
I said yes.
Oh, all right. How do you beat that? I mean, what's he going to do for the first anniversary?
Yeah, no kidding. Lindsay, you would have said yes had he proposed to you just at home, right? Or at a restaurant or something like that.
I would have said yes if he proposed to me in front of Jack in the Box. I mean, it really didn't matter.
But then when your girlfriends ask you how it happened, don't you hold court for a while and just say, "Let me tell you, girls."
You know what really sucks?
Thousand-year-old what?
Before we left, he told everybody what he was going to do, so I couldn't tell anybody. Everybody already knew about it. Completely ruined it for me. I couldn't tell one person. Everyone's like, "Oh yeah, we already know."
Nah, he's bad.
The crappy part about doing it in front of an audience like that too is you feel pressure to say yes.
Thank you. Yeah,
even
no kidding.
If you don't want
to. Good point.
You want to say no, you can't say no. Yeah. All right, let's go to Robert, who has a unique idea. Robert in Newport Beach. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning, Kevin and Dean, Lisa May.
Hi, Robert.
What'd you do?
I rented a theater and I made like a little movie clip of her and myself when we were kids up until obviously present day. With our two kids involved, and I got about 50 to 75 people, friends and family, that were on the balcony and watched the movie clip with us, and she had absolutely no idea what was going on, that anyone was there. So it was good. It was great. I loved it.
Did she say yes?
Absolutely.
Shoot.
Most definitely.
You know, we got to do a topic sometime when girls said no.
I know.
Yes.
I want to hear that.
You do. That would be fascinating. It seems like that would be, like Lisa said, really difficult. There's a lot of pressure to say yes.
Especially in those situations, the one we were just hearing about.
Fiance did it by making a radio commercial, did it at the top of the Eiffel Tower before Tom Cruise.
Damn it.
Because I'm better than him, see, says Curtis.
Julia in North Hollywood. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi there. What happened with you?
Well, 2 years ago, my boyfriend decided to rent out a monkey and his trainer, and took me to Griffith Park while we were sitting down on a picnic, and he decided to have the monkey bring the ring to me. Well, what ended up happening is that the monkey ran away with the ring.
The monkey ran away with the ring?
Yeah.
So did your boyfriend chase for quite some time? How did you get it back?
No, actually, what ended up happening is I guess the trainer went after him about 20 minutes later, brought my ring. Thank God, because it was a pretty pricey ring, too. And
it was a blow dart to the neck, and then the monkey finally went down?
I don't know. I was just
so
laughing.
So, do you still wear that ring that was probably up the monkey's ass for a while?
Sweet!
Yes, I do.
Yes, you do. Did you have it cleaned really, really well?
Yes, I did.
All right. That's funny. Can you imagine that guy? Oh, but wait, hey, that monkey.
I love that.
That's awesome. Thank you for the call, Julie. We appreciate it. First of all, I'm just saying, I don't see you even exercising.
I mean, I don't even see that.
What?
I don't even for one second believe that you exercise.
Do you like stand by, stand by, kids. Stand by, kids. It's 8:48 on the Kevin and Bean Show. That's 30 Seconds to Mars. Crystal Vasquez from Los Angeles is going to see that band and a bunch of others at the Taste of Chaos in Long Beach. Tickets are on sale now. And she's eligible for the drawing we'll do tomorrow to see the band 30 Seconds to Mars in Montreal. We're talking about the King of Mexico, who's in the studio.
Word.
By the way, King, congratulations. First of all, I forgot to tell you congratulations. They, what? I guess the Senate passed the minimum wage raise bill yesterday.
Oh, so. Awesome.
So it's good news for you. Dave gets another raise.
He works on tips, Bean. He doesn't really get that.
Yeah.
We just found out that Dave the King of Mexico, who is not a workout buff per se, is doing Taibo.
No.
Now, wasn't Taibo popular, what, 10 years ago?
Billy Blanks, no idea. Taibo.
Billy Blanks, yes.
Huge.
That guy, and he had like studios everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like it exploded.
TV show, the whole deal.
It exploded for 5 minutes and then it just went away.
Sure.
As many exercise crazies do.
You know that Akon song, Smack That? Look at that. Come on. Like he's not on the cutting edge, Dave.
Lisa, you're the one who follows all these trends, and of course pole dancing is big now, but why was Taibo so big and then went away if it was effective?
Well, I think it's like anything that's just the new better thing that comes along. I mean, there still may be a Taibo studio. There was one in Sherman Oaks. It may still be there.
Right.
But as far as the DVDs, people aren't really exercising at home the way we used to videotape
DVDs. Can you see Dave, the King of Mexico, in front of his TV doing that?
I'm bringing it back, y'all.
Can you picture him?
I want to see some moves.
Hi, I'm Billy Blanks. Welcome to my brand new cardio fat blasting workout. Are you guys ready to get down today? Are y'all ready?
Woo! Do you shout back to him when you're in your house?
Hell yeah, dude. I'm even doing the little dance. Do that.
Yeah,
the
I'm ready. And, yeah, let's
one,
go.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Dave, have you recorded a new song? I'm bringing Taibo back. Have you heard that one yet?
Ooh, good point.
Pump it. Pump it. Pump it. Let's go. Pump it.
Sounds like it's from
tighten those triceps up, guys.
From a porn.
Tighten your triceps up.
Pump it. Pump it.
What, Dave, were you waiting for it to become so out of fashion that the DVDs are like 50 cents at the swap meet? Is that why?
And what's wrong with Jane Fonda's tapes?
Who's Jane Fonda?
It's about the same time, practically.
Popular about the same time as Taibo.
Yeah.
No, why Taibo now? Did you come across it?
To be honest, I got it as a birthday gift. That was one of my birthday gifts.
From who?
From my brother.
Your brother gave you Taibo on DVD.
He's all like, we're fat, let's get in shape. It was like, sure, you know, and I'm always at home, so why not do it at home?
So we're fat was how he began his birthday gift.
Yeah. Plus, we're going on a cruise in about 3 months, so it's like, you know, all right, we need to slim down.
So you got
to
get in grit.
Got to work on these guns, baby. You know?
Because when you go on the cruise, you're going to get a bunch of chicks.
No, he's going to eat.
Just so I could not eat now and then eat on the cruise.
Right. 1, 2, feedback. 3, 4, feedback. 5, 6, feedback. 7, 8, feedback. Come on, feedback.
Come on, speedbag. That one's tough. You got jab, speedbag. Jab, speedbag. Dude, it's tough, man. It's really hard workout.
Oh, God.
Are you sore?
I tell you, if you get out there, you really show your will, show your mind, you can get that stuff done.
That's
so
right.
Come on.
Get
aboard.
Get aboard.
We love you. We all see you later. We're going to throw you a victory sign. Yeah! All
right. He's throwing you a victory sign.
As he should, because I'm bringing it back. I'm bringing Taibo back.
That's right. Hey, you can't bring everything back.
I'm bringing everything back.
You just can't.
How long are you going to stick with this, Dave?
Hopefully for about 3-4 months.
Okay, he just wants to get in shape for the cruise so that he can sit on the boat and pig out. Are you going just with your brother?
Going to couple of our family members as well. Other brothers and stuff. Yeah. It's a family cruise.
Where are you going?
Cabo.
Why do you have to be in such good shape for a family cruise?
It's not for you.
No, it's you see him in front of his TV working out to Taibo?
I got a big TV, so it's cool.
Will you please set up a video camera and tape yourself? Yeah, tape yourself doing Taibo.
God no.
Come on. Do it for us.
Yeah, but you know, I learned a couple of things that while doing Taibo.
Yes.
I can't kick and I'm really uncoordinated.
Well, no kidding and no kidding. I mean, seriously.
And it's tiring, man.
Well, that's the point.
That's called exercise, Dave.
Whatever with that.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, after nothing but, you know, reruns over the holidays, all of a sudden we're living in the golden age of television. Earlier today we told you about I Love New York, the new series on VH1 starring that crazy chick from the Flava Flav. And there's another new show that debuted on CBS called Armed and Famous. Is that right this week?
So,
Armed
and
Famous. And look who's back on the show for the first time in 2007 to talk about the show, ladies and gentlemen. LaQuisha. Good morning,
my
girl.
Yeah, look who's back. Look who fine old black woman finally loud back on the radio.
Oh, I guess James Brown died. Now you figure one more black person can be in the entertainment business.
Good to see you've got a good attitude for the new year, LaQuisha.
Why the hell you not been calling me?
Well, because we have
on the radio no more.
There hasn't been a show out there that we thought you would like enough to watch and review for. So when we heard about Armed and Famous, we said, this is right in your wheelhouse. Let's call you and see if you'll do it.
Well, you're damn right. I've been watching this whether I was on your show or not.
That's what I'm talking about.
This is one of the best damn shows I ever seen.
Now, what is Armed and Famous?
Armed and Famous is a show that takes five D-level celebrities and moves them to Muncie, Indiana, and it starts to train them to become officers of the law.
To actually be police officers.
To be cops in Muncie, Indiana, and go out on patrol and fight crime and everything.
Excellent.
Okay.
And it's got one of the greatest theme songs of any TV show ever.
You Indiana, guns are played, popper off the camera, the limousine, you believe cruises, sand and sun, you arrest the losers, because you prefer. Armed and famous. They're armed and famous.
That's pretty strong.
Who wrote that, Lightning?
Kind of sounds like it.
Famous.
Who are these celebrities allegedly that entertain us on the show?
Well, first of all, you got LaToya Jackson.
Oh, crazy sister of Michael.
Eldest sister of the Jackson family.
Yes.
And she talks about how she's always wanted to be a cop. She's not doing this just to be on television.
Oh.
She's always had a dream to be a police officer.
Sure.
All my life, I've wanted to do two things. I've always wanted to work at McDonald's, and I've always wanted to be a police officer.
Well, the way her career's going, she's going to get both her wishes pretty soon.
Those two are pretty equal.
Because right after this, I think she's going to be saying, would you like a hot apple pie with that, sir? Then also, we got Trish Stratus. You know who Trish Stratus is?
No.
Trish Stratus was in the WWE. She was a female wrestler.
Okay.
Professional wrestler. And she's ready to become a cop, too.
I recently retired from wrestling. I came here to become a cop. Kick ass and take names. Stratisfaction, guaranteed.
Stratisfaction.
Guaranteed.
Shut up, Trish Stratus! I hope she gets shot in the line of duty.
Now, are these people really becoming cops?
What did I just say?
Well, you said they're becoming cops, but
that's what I said.
All right.
They're coming cops.
Is it like a ride-along where they just watch the real cops, or do they actually give them a gun and a badge?
What the hell is wrong with you white poor people?
It's hard for us to believe that they would just make these celebrities cops.
They make
cops. All right, LaToya Jackson.
Here's the premise of the show. They become police officers.
All right.
LaToya Jackson. Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
I think what we're saying is what police force says, oh, yeah, LaToya Jackson, that's who I want keeping the streets safe. You know what I mean?
I guess Muncie, Indiana said that.
All right. So far, we have LaToya Jackson.
Hello? Is this thing on? Can you hear me?
We have LaToya Jackson and we have Trish Stratus. Who else?
We got Eric Mother Effin' Estrada.
Oh.
From Chips is back.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm back. But now there's a real cop.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to give Poncho a gun and a badge.
Yeah.
Also, you got Jack Osborne. Of the Osborne.
Ozzy's son.
And you got Wee Man from the Jackass people.
Oh, yeah.
And I tell you, when they come into, they got to go through training just like any other police cadet at the academy when they show up.
Right.
And the sergeant that is training them, I don't think is too pleased that his police chief has agreed to do this television show. He is not happy with these people and having to mess around with this foolishness.
Right.
Least of all, Wee Man from Jackass, not pleased to be dealing with that midget.
Saw your movie, wasn't impressed. Jackass around here and see where it gets you.
Oh, no, you didn't!
Oh, man.
Wow, that's throwing down the gauntlet to a guy like Wee Man.
He worked in the title, now he's serious.
That hurts.
Don't you jackass around here. I'll teach you something. So while they're training, they had to go through all the different scenarios a police officer might encounter in the street.
Mm-hmm.
Like pulling a car over, you know, checking license and registration. They have drills and classes to teach them everything.
Okay.
And Eric Estrada thinks because he has more experience than the others, he'll be better at this. meaning he did a cop show for a couple of years.
He was on a TV show about cops.
Right. So here he is in class learning how to pull someone over.
The other cadets have never done a cop show. I did for 6 years. Poncherello and Chips. So over them, I had a tremendous advantage.
Put your hands cupped on the back of your head.
This is just infraction. It's just a tick.
Oh, you said suspension.
Suspended infraction. It's just a tick.
Never mind, sir.
The guy's supposed to get a ticket. He's got his gun drawn on the guy in the car. Put your hands behind your head. It's just a ticket, Eric. Oh, never mind. I tell you, any TV show can't be bad when you get to see Jack Osborne be tasered.
Oh. They taser them?
Well, here's the thing. Part of the equipment they get furnished is tasers in the street. And by law in Indiana, in the state of Indiana, you cannot own a taser unless you have been tasered by an instructor previous to that fact.
Wow. Are these the needle-in-the-leg type tasers?
These are the ones that shoot the prongs into your body and then shoot 50,000 volts of electricity through you.
That's the real one.
And you can't use one unless you've had the experience so you know what to expect.
Right.
Now, they also have a way around this where they take alligator clips and they clip it to you and then they put the charge through you. It saves you the pain of being stabbed with the prongs that come out of the gun.
Right.
So that's how they were training these people. And Jack Osborne got tasered and he cried like a woman.
Right.
And then Eric Estrada, he starts to get tasered.
One of my testicles has enlarged from getting zapped by a taser.
That's a bad side effect.
Wow.
Is that for real? Him screaming that much?
That was for real.
That hurts like a mother.
All five of them got shot with a taser. That's good television right there.
No kidding.
Now, Trish Stratus, the wrestler,
mm-hmm.
she says, but in the street, we would shoot these people with the prongs that go in them, right? And they said, yeah, that's right. She goes, okay, I'll do it that way.
Which is worse?
She volunteers to get the probe shot into her and experience the whole nine yards.
Oh, my God.
And she also takes advantage of this opportunity to let us hear what she sounds like when she's having sex. I'm guessing she pretty much sounds like that.
Yeah, I would guess. Yeah.
It goes on a long time.
They leave it. They shock you till you beg them to stop. That's how it works.
Oh, God.
Ouch.
But everyone is very impressed by Trish and her decision to get shot by the taser gun, especially Jack Osborne.
Trish, you're the toughest dude I know.
I'm a total boy.
You take it.
You're more of a guy than I am.
Well, how hard is that, really?
Yeah. He's Jack Osborne, for God's sake.
Kelly Osborne's more of a man than he is.
Yeah, true.
Next, they move on to arm combat. That's when you have to learn how to take a gun away from a perpetrator, how to wrestle someone to the ground, how to handcuff them. They have long classes in that. And here, Eric Estrada, Poncherelli, is wrestling with the instructor. This instructor's trying to pull a weapon away from Ponch to show how it's done.
Right.
This is them rolling around on the floor.
Okay. Yes, sir.
What you have to do.
What?
He pushed the air out of me.
Ponch just farted.
Eric Estrada farted all over the instructor. That is some self-defense technique they did not teach him in the academy.
No kidding.
He just blasted all over somebody. And we men, as you can imagine, find that hysterical. Well, once they complete their training, they do indeed get their guns and badges and go out into the field. And the first arrest that Eric Estrada makes with his partner is a 75-year-old woman who is selling crack.
Really?
And she got no teeth.
Oh.
And she is in love with some Eric Estrada. Turns out his first arrest is a huge fan of Chips. And he's got to spend the entire time in the squad car driving her to jail with her talking about the damn show Chips.
Oh.
And he's not too happy.
I wouldn't miss one movie of that show.
God in heaven. How far is the... Where are we going?
County jail.
How far?
Trying to get rid of me, Punch.
You trying to get rid of me, Punch?
Wow. Oh, wow.
Yes.
Yeah. It's hard to be famous and arrest people.
No kidding.
Because they don't take you that seriously, it turns out. And Wee Man, I'll tell you, he is so popular with hot women with big boobies.
Really?
Oh, yeah?
Everybody he pull over, the girl is 25 and attractive. They want their photo taken. They want autographs of that little man. And he's having a great time in Muncie, Indiana.
Dude, let me tell you about the ladies of Muncie. Not only are they safer, they're feeling sexier. Why? Because they know I'm roaming the streets.
He's a midget. Does he know that?
Yes. He does. But LaQuisha, we've been lucky enough to hang with the Wee Man, and he has a great time wherever he goes. He brings the party with him.
But no woman's getting sexy over a midget.
Come on, well, he's Wee Man.
He does all right.
I'll sit on him and crush that little man.
You would take him in a second, LaQuisha.
You'd never hear from him again. He would just disappear. They'd say, I have to put his face on milk cartons after I was done with him. Well, finally, after the first day on duty, the five new officers get together to have some coffee and donuts, because that's what police officers do.
Sure.
And I think Eric Estrada puts it together and tells us how it's going to be.
Criminals in Muncie better watch out. We're in town, man. Muncie is safer with armed and famous.
Yeah, look out, Muncie. The armed and famous crew is there. They're going to clean up the streets.
You think the criminals are fleeing that city by the droves?
I think they are, because they think Eric Estrada going to fart all over them.
That's fantastic. Thank you, LaQuisha.
Thank you.
All right, bye now. Pete, you know, I forgot to tell you, I finally got to ask the answer to a question that has bugged us for 15 years.
Right.
Yes. You know the marathons?
Mm-hmm.
Who wins all of the marathons?
Some guy from Kenya.
All of them.
Yeah.
It's always some guy from Kenya.
We've had this discussion for years and years and years, like you said, about how, you know, the Boston Marathon results have come in, or the New York Marathon, LA Marathon, and 7 or 8 of the top 10 are always from Kenya. We always go, why Kenya? Why is it? It's not Tanzania. It's not Morocco. It's not South Africa. It's always Kenya. What's going on in Kenya that these people are running so fast?
And we've been asking this question for a long time, and there doesn't seem to be any answer. But it is, it's a regular fact. I mean, you can look at all of these marathons and see Kenyan, 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 Kenyan.
Absolutely.
How? How is that possible?
I don't know.
So I was lucky enough to go to Africa on my vacation over Christmas. And I forgot to tell you, Bean, that a driver that was, he was driving us, you know, looking for animals and stuff. Mm-hmm. He was born and raised in Kenya.
All right.
And excellent. I said, hey, by the way, why does it seem like all of the people who run marathons are from Kenya? And he said,
now, hold on. Did he roll his eyes as if here's another stupid white guy coming in with a stereotype, just like we ask why the French are all smelly, and they just look at us like we don't know what we're talking about.
He looked at
really?
Me, and he started laughing. He's like, yeah, I know. Isn't that bizarre? Kenyans always win those races. Isn't that crazy?
Now, I remember when we've had people on to try to figure it out before, they've said everything from it has something to do with their terrain, it has something to do with the altitude, it has something to do with they've got an extra muscle in their foot. I mean, people have just come up with all sorts of crazy reasons why the Kenyans are so goddamn fast.
There are a lot of people who walk long distances in Kenya. They'll go 6.5 hours. They'll walk that far.
Wow.
I mean, because a lot of them don't have vehicles
right.
and stuff. But so this guy, born and raised, and I thought, here is my chance. I am going to finally put this question to rest, and I'm going to ask a guy who was born and raised in Kenya why the Kenyans are so goddamn good at the long races.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And I says to him, I says, why do the Kenyans run so well? And his answer was, drum roll please, he didn't have any idea.
What?
He had no idea.
Kenya!
He had no idea.
None. Not even a theory?
Nope.
Not even just...
Isn't that funny? I don't know.
Off the top of his head, an idea?
And I said, well, you were born and raised here. And he said, I know, it's crazy.
But how does
that was it.
He...
That was the whole conversation.
But how does he see that all the Kenyans are winning all the races and not once say, hey, how come?
Having a discussion with someone somewhere in Kenya about why that might be?
Yeah, he didn't care. He was happy about it. He loves Kenya. He's glad to be from there. He's glad to see them win the races. I had no idea.
Oh,
that's
my God.
That's unacceptable.
None whatsoever.
That is bogus.
So I pressed him. I was like, come on. You have to have a theory. You have a theory, right? Nope. No theory.
just think it's pretty funny.
You to hell. You wrong, sir. Wrong.
So we don't have an answer.
Oh, my God.
Together are fast.
I mean, how?
You
I mean,
all what, the way to Africa.
What more research do we have to do?
Good question.
You know, I was there. I asked a guy who grew up there.
Did you see anybody running that you could have pulled over in your Jeep and said, hey, you, you, the guy who's going really, really fast, how do you do it?
Why do you run so fast? No, I thought that guy would know. Nothing. I got nothing.
Well, that's, that leaves this reviewer cold.
This one as well. I got to tell you, out of all the songs about date rape, I think that's the best one.
I agree.
That's hard to argue.
I think that's number one.
Yeah.
Kevin Abiccio on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ, 946. Time for your phone calls. Kevin Abiccio's What to Do Nephew at 1-800-520-1067.
We're going to a guy on a satellite phone in Iraq here in a second. Is that right?
Yeah.
Leave him on hold.
He's going to love his choice of a pair of tickets for the Monster Jam January 13th at Angel Stadium of Anaheim, or a pair of lift tickets to join K-Rock this weekend at Snow Summit. Did you know 90% of Snow Summit is now open for picnics?
Uh-huh. For picnics, I'm sorry?
There's as much snow as in Iraq right now as there is at Snow Summit. That's what they're telling me.
Let's go to John.
Oh.
John in Iraq.
Darn it.
Calling from a,
why do you hate the troops, Kevin?
Calling from a satellite phone to say hi.
Why do you hate the troops?
I don't. I went to him first.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it's a little expensive, I imagine, calling from Iraq.
Well, we pay for it. What
that's
does
right.
he care?
It's our tax dollars.
That's true. That's true.
I wanted to ask him how he feels about the company he's about to get in the next couple of months. Apparently he's got some new buddies going to be joining him soon.
Fresh meat.
All right, let's go to Nick in Los Angeles. Hi, Nick.
Hi, guys. How you doing? What to do, nephew?
What to do, nephew?
What's going on?
So first, I just wanted to say Alex needs to man up and take Nick from Lockerton out on another date.
That's what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
For her birthday.
I went
for her
to
birthday.
High school with the young lad. He's such a cool little kid.
You went to high school with Nick?
I did, yeah. I was 2 years above him.
That's what we're talking about.
He's such a cool kid.
Worst birthday present ever.
Come on, whore.
Dude, I have ridden that short bus. I'm not getting back
What good is being a super whore if you're not going to use your powers?
Exactly.
Dude, it's hard out here for a hoe, man.
Alex, it wouldn't kill you to go out on a date with Nick. He's a nice guy.
I've been there. Done that. Now
do it again. We're asking you to do it again.
No, that is not the birthday present I want.
Only we're asking you to do it right this time.
No, sir.
You know what I'm saying?
No, sir.
On his deathbed, I want him to picture your upcoming date.
No, sir.
Why are you gonna be so insensitive all the time?
You hear
all
me?
Right. I want you to be with a slight smile on his face as he
slight smile
as he shuffles off this mortal coil.
Hi, Nick.
Hey, Nick.
Hi, Nikki.
Hey.
Hi, you're on.
Hey.
This is what the day would be like. I'd be talking and there'd be just little sounds.
What are you saying, Nick?
Hey.
Okay, we established that.
Yeah, hey, I can hear you guys now.
Okay, good.
Oh, cool. What's up? Hey, good morning.
Thanks for calling.
Are you calling from Iraq, Nick?
On a satellite phone?
No, but John is calling back, so let's go to him, can we? Do you mind?
Yeah,
dump
please.
Nick? Oh, well, I don't like you saying anything.
See, John, soldier from Iraq, I'd have sex with him.
You do that. Yeah. John.
Yeah.
Are you really calling from Iraq?
No, I really am.
Really?
Wow. Johnny?
Where are you? Are you in the green zone right now?
I can't really say. I can say I'm in the South Province, but that's about it.
Well, shouldn't you be doing something over there? I mean, don't you have work to do and stuff?
Aren't there insurgents to stop?
Well, I can't really say why, but we're kind of have a little bit of downtime right now.
Okay.
Boy, you are a big man.
The war's over. John just announced it. They're pulling out.
Come on home.
Now, John, how does the satellite phone thing work? Can you just call anybody?
It's kind of difficult. These things really suck. This one costs about, like, $1,500. We all pulled our money here and, like, got this thing shipped out to us. And, like, if you stop talking, they, like, cut out. And that's why I wasn't there earlier.
I see. So it's your own personal satellite phone.
Yeah, we all bought it.
Awesome.
Do you guys get a bill at the end of the month for the amount of minutes that you've talked?
I'm not sure. A buddy of mine takes care of all that crap back in the States.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Hey, John, I'm really sorry that you're not here today because Alex, our assistant producer, says if you were here, she would have sex with you tonight.
That would be my birthday present to you, actually.
My wife probably wouldn't be too happy about that. Thank you so much.
She's ever with your wife. You're putting your life on the line for America, damn it. She's got to put up with a few minor inconveniences.
She could join in.
That's right.
It'd be cool.
There's no reason to make it exclusive.
Right.
John, how long have you been over there in country?
I've been here 6 months, about. 6 months,
and
like 2 weeks.
And do you love it? Is it the time of your life?
It really sucks.
Yeah, I bet.
Are you going to move there when the war's over?
I don't think so.
Buy yourself a little place in the sand?
Yeah.
Did you see the president talking about sending more troops over there?
I caught a little bit of it. I caught his apology. That was pretty interesting.
Yeah, he kind of did.
Yeah, for folks who didn't see the speech last night, it was kind of the first time that he said mistakes were made and maybe I had a little bit of something to do with it, and that's why we've realized we got to change course a little bit. Were you pleased to hear that, John, or did you not think that was necessary?
Well, you know, I pretty much feel that if you're in, you're all in. If you're out, you're all out. And it kind of felt a little bit of a cop-out to me.
Because
we got Saddam out of power, you know. I mean, he was a real mean guy.
Right.
I don't want to say any bad words on the radio.
Thank you.
But it's a darn good thing he's out of there. And I kind of wish that the president had stuck with what he felt was right and not gone back on it.
You know, a lot of people gave him props for the speech last night, but said it would have, they felt, been more effective 2 or 3 years ago. Like, it's a little bit of a little too late, kind of. Like, if we were going to really go in there with blunt force and really secure Baghdad, that would have been a great idea a couple of years ago. Now it's too late. What do you think about that?
I think there's a lot of stuff that people really don't understand about Iraq. It's pretty difficult since we're trying to, like, you know, keep it separate from us in there.
Right.
We're really trying to get the Iraqis to kind of, you know, do it for themselves.
Step up,
and it's really difficult. The whole situation is very difficult.
How long can we talk to you on the satellite phone, do you think?
As long as I keep talking, it won't cut
half
out.
Half hour, 45 minutes? Just keep racking up the bill? Some dude's paying for it, right?
That wouldn't be too cool.
Not too cool.
That would be expensive.
I got you. Let me ask you one more thing then, John, and this seems to be the crux of what the problem is as it looks to us in America, and I want to get your impression as a guy on the ground in Iraq. The problem seems to be, as we see it, that the Sunni and the Shia are going to hate each other whether America is in Iraq or not. They're never going to have each other's backs and actually be part of a unified Iraq. Do you think that's a misimpression, or is that accurate?
That's pretty accurate. I always like to kind of look at it like I'm originally from L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to be a police officer back in L.A.
Right.
And I kind of look at it as like the Bloods and the Crips.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes they can work together to do stuff, but other times, you know, it's just the blood war.
All hell breaks loose. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How would you get? I mean, what would you do if you could to get them to see a common goal that would make it better for both sides?
I don't really think it's going to happen. I mean, it was they were pretty united in the fact that they wanted Saddam out of there.
Right.
But that was pretty much the only real union. You really need to get something like major, like Saddam or something, to really get them back behind it.
So if we had someone like Saddam, he could bring unity?
No. I just mean something.
Okay, we need a new dictator. Right. That's what John said. <Yeah. laughs>
Well, I mean, it's kind of like you fight with your brothers and sisters, but then if somebody outside the family gets into the picture, all of a sudden you guys are a tight team against that outside person. It's the same thing, I guess,
correct,
is what John's saying.
Right. I nominate Kim Jong-il.
Yeah, he'd be good. John, allow me to thank you on behalf of everyone that's listening. Seriously.
Hey, John.
Because that's very cool that you're doing that and we're just laughing at things here. You're a much better person than we are.
Is there anyone you want to say hello to here in Southern California, John?
Oh, you know, just everyone back in the San Fernando Valley. You know, hey, what's up, guys? Everyone who went to El Camino Real High School.
818.
818?
Yeah. Yeah, the Valley's just about like Iraq, if you ask me.
Oh,
it's better, though. Except they make porn there. It's
they do make porn, that's true.
Yeah.
All right, John, thank you. Take care.
All right, thanks.
Bye
now. John.
See you, dude. How cool is that, him calling us, huh?
That's awesome.
Hey, let's talk to Jason real quick about a big story in the sports world. If you missed our K-Rock sports guy earlier covering this, then maybe we can bring you up to speed here.
Jason, Fountain Valley, good morning.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
David Beckham, horrible investment. $100 million? Come on, what's that?
David Beckham, for those of you who don't follow the sport, was huge in soccer in England for a long time. And then he played
in Spain.
In Spain.
Yeah.
Real.
And now he's playing for the Los Angeles Galaxy is what I hear, right?
It's almost as if Europe is saying, here, LA Galaxy, take our trash.
Well, I mean, I think, why do you think it's a bad investment? Because you just think he's too old, he won't be that much of a significant improvement on the field? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. I mean, it's just like Evander Holyfield coming back to boxing.
Yeah, but don't you think that David Beckham's a big enough name that it will bring some...
And he's a crossover name. A lot of people don't know much about soccer, do know who David Beckham is.
It'll bring a lot more interest to soccer.
He's still hot, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay, thanks. I'm in.
Think about if Shaquille O'Neal decided to play in Italy next year. That's what it would be like. It would galvanize a market that's not as into basketball as maybe we are, even though he's not as good as he once was.
Very true. But what happens when he hits the field and all that hype for nothing, David Beckham? Nothing.
He's not nothing.
Well, even David Beckham, not at his best.
He's only 31 years
old.
He's got a lot of talent, and he's sort of a field general. He's good at mobilizing guys and putting guys in position to score. I think he'll have some influence on that team.
I like to see somebody stepping up and saying, "Let's really make this work," instead of just kind of half-hearting, you know, all the way through, and it's not really doing it.
And he was the captain for the England team. Remember, I mean, like Ralph says, he's a field general. I mean, he is a guy who knows how to manage a team.
Maybe I'm just jealous that he's making millions for doing something that he loves.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true of all the great athletes. Thank you, Jason, for the call. We appreciate it.
I bet there are going to be a lot of curiosity tickets sold, though.
Sure.
To see, I've heard this name, David Beckham. I know who he is because he's married to that Spice Girl. I want to go see him in person, and now I can kind of thing.
Right, they'll go, and then they'll realize it's soccer, and then they'll go back home.
Yeah, but he's still hot, right?
He's still hot.
He'll take his shirt off?
Have you guys seen the video online of him scoring from midfield? Have you seen that?
I have seen that, yeah.
The goalie's
bounces in.
The goalie's, like, coming way out, and he notices, and he kicks it all the way in the goal from half field.
Oh, my God.
From the half stripe, yes. It's just unbelievable. But I think it's fascinating. I like that kind of stuff.
Are we done with our window licker? Did we say goodbye to Nick? Okay.
Well, we hung up on him.
Bye-bye.
He's back, but we hung up on him.
Oh, okay. Bye.
Sorry,
no,
Nick.
He's not there.
Alex will call you later. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Alex will call you back.
Well, we had some other great calls, but we're not going to have time for you today. So please, Josh and
Stupid
Leslie.
John from Iraq.
Some of the others.
Oh, wait. No, we were happy about that. Sorry.
Give us a call back tomorrow.
Tim Russert over there on the island has to have a 40-minute interview on the policies.
C-SPAN, what is your nephew?
What do you think you could do to bring
Matthews
the two sides
hardball
together?
There? John, what would your opinion be of this particular policy if I were to ask you?
He's on the ground in Iraq. That's a different perspective than these talking heads we see on TV
Poor
all the time. I want to hear.
Grunt doing a man's job. He's not out there making policy for the Sunnis and the Shiites.
He's obviously trying to avoid Iraq by calling K-Rock. He doesn't want to talk about it.
But he comes in contact with the people, and I think that's a lot of what gets missed in the news coverage here in the United States. And I'm just saying, I want his perspective. That's all. It seems like a waste to have him on and not talk about what's going on in Iraq, don't you think?
George Stephanopoulos. I'll listen to you Friday on Scoop Line. Or Sunday, whatever the hell that show is on.
Sunday, like 2 a.m.
Whatever. That damn bean should be working.
We should ask him why Kenyans run so fast.
That's what we should ask. Maybe got an answer.
I bet he knows.
All right. It's Carrick FM, Pasadena, Los Angeles. I want to thank all of our terrific guests on the Kevin and Bean Show today. And advise you to come on back tomorrow for more.
Tomorrow morning, we have an all-new Kevin and Bean Show movie beat because it is Friday. We also have the grand prize for K-Rock's World Tour 2007, destination number 2, a trip to see 30 Seconds to Mars in Montreal. Mm-hmm.
Why would you go with Monty Hall to go see 30 Seconds to Mars?
No, not Montreal. This is Monty Hall.
Oh, I see.
And Jared Leto is going to actually help us make that that announcement. That call. Stop it.
Kevin, you're going to need a splatter guard in there tomorrow.
Plus, we're going to find out how it's possible that Bean could love Mike's Christmas present. Of an ant farm, although he's not going to put ants in it. We'll find that out tomorrow. I don't think that makes any sense.
It's just a box with sand.
And
then, right?
Mary Lynn Radscub, who plays Chloe on 24, comes back this Sunday. Tomorrow we're going to talk to her, and we're going to give away a trip for somebody to go visit the set of 24.
Ooh. Oh, you got the hammer.
So check that out. Oh, yeah, it's hammer time.
Oh, it's hammer time.
Hammer time,
right. Isn't Chloe the sourpuss on that show?
Yes.
Isn't she the one who always, how is it Mike describes her?
It looks like she's just smelling a fart for the first time.
Yes. Sucking a lemon.
Eternal fart girl.
It is. But she's good.
All right. Does she still have her baby hanging out at the office? Is that still going on? I that for a while. She was having the baby under a desk. She would keep her baby there. Does anybody remember that?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
All right. Well, we'll talk to people who watch the show tomorrow.
All right. Kat Corbin is next with the 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. You know the show we're talking about, the one with Kiefer Sutherland, right, Kevin? 24?
I love that show.
The one you say you love and you never miss an episode?
Correct.
It's your favorite show on TV? That's the one?
That's the one.
For a while, she was having babysitter issues and she had to bring her kid to the ICU, wherever the hell they were.
Dude, I barely
there.
Remember what the threat was last
CTU.
Season.
CTU.
You know what I'm saying?
CBS.
Well,
ABC.
That Jack Bauer has some bad days, though, PDQ. Doesn't he?
He's going to have another one.
DVDA.
Foo Fighters next. Also, Bush. Muse, System of a Down, Wolf, Mother, Gorillas, and more right after this.